It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Go off and running on this 23rd day of June 2021. My God, where is the summer going? And for anybody keeping track, we're 3 days into summer, and I'm already asking, where is summer going? You know, sometimes there's just an attitude problem, I guess. Hi, I'm Robin. It is prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn. Yes, it is. And we will have some prayer meeting Wednesday merriment and madcap wacky zaniness here in fairly short order. Oh yes, how could we not? Because, well, they don't take days off. Never mind that not working on Sunday business. No. yeah, no, really. We've got some prayer meeting stuff. We do. And of course, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. No, absolutely not. And so we have thanks to send out to our 23rd day of the month subscribers, and that means thanks to our dear friend of longstanding, Philip in Maryland, and thank you to Stacy, and thanks to our friends at Mellow Moonlit Meadow. Thank you all so very kindly for being partial sponsors of the program. It means a ton. It's how we partially keep the program on the air. And you know, the whole thing has always been, if we could ever just get enough subscribers, we could stop with the having to fundraise during the show. And wouldn't that just be a wonderful, wonderful thing? But we're not there yet, and the fundraising goal for this evening stands at, yes, $906.66. $906.66. And it would be great if that, you know what that means? That means, what a number. We are $6.66 away from being done with funding last week. And it's Wednesday. So, and then we've got this week to fund, which means we're running significantly behind. It would be great if we could take this down by a big notch and not be looking at, you know, by the time we get to Friday, $15.66. And that would be the largest deficit $1,500, not $15.66. That would be the largest deficit in Horn history, because it would mean an entire week was unfunded, right? Yes. But thank you so sincerely to our 23rd day of the month subscribers as we race toward the end of this first partial month of summer. And it got nice today. I feel pretty confident in saying this. Yes, this was the most, at least here in the hills and hollers of almost level West Bicol, Manchinia. How's that, Manchinia, Stan? It was, exquisite. Perfect blue sky day. Not too cold, not too hot. All you needed was a light jacket. Thank you very, very kindly to Jeremy in Vermont getting us off the 666 Schneid. Hallelujah, glory, amen. this being prayer meeting Wednesday, last week is now fully funded. Thank you. Ralph's answered and said, I'll kick in the 666 and hopefully others will contribute. It would be wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Ralph. And of course, if you'd like to augment your live listening experience, well, run on over to headon.live, click on chat room where, and you will immediately be greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky, and capably moderated by not particularly capable long-term whatever chat room moderator.
Moi.
Yeah, hopefully pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve, will be along at some point in time. Mm-hmm. But no, it's again, it's 75 degrees here in the studio, and it's a little, with the air conditioner going, it's a little too cool for naked radio, but let's not think about that some more, just like last night. Sorry about the shortened program yesterday evening. I had to attend a meeting, and it proved to be all the fun I expected it to be. That is to say, no fun at all. Gracious, gracious sakes alive. So now we are down. Now we are down to $893.34. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you. And $893.34 because Ralphs covered the 666 too. Thank you, Ralphs. That is so very kind of you. Roger in Oregon in the chat room saying we can behave without supervision. Yeah, that's right, Ralphs. But I think I ciphered successfully, although that's always subject to question. Yeah. Any humming that you hear in the background, that's the lawnmower battery charging. It's been a the boy has Ferg has been working hard all day long tidying up the grounds here at the mansion, and my hopefully someday soon daughter-in-law has been prettying up the flower beds at the front of the mansion right there by the front porch. What's that, Brother Deacon Asa says? You could credibly argue that mansion is the Mansionarian candidate. Yeah. And just as the program ended, we had the what's it, Lee in New York says, Manchia. Considering how Senator Joe loves his complete power over the nation, should it be in honor of President Xi, Mangina? Well, it could be. It certainly could be. But we had the news, speaking of Joe, that even with his vote and that of curtsying Kyrsten Sinema, the Senate split evenly 50-50 last night, making sure that the Senate would not protect the voting rights of tens of hundred million or more, about 150 million Americans. Yeah. So they're, and you know, if you're playing 11D-dimensional chess at home, maybe this is the proof that we cannot get that bipartisanship, that elusive bipartisanship, that unicorn, which is so fervently sought by the senior senator from West Virginia. may I suggest, asks Ron in Raleigh, now that you're a lady, shouldn't it be nude radio? Who said I was a lady? Female? Woman? Yeah. Lady? I don't know. But, well, whatever it is, it ain't today, because it's a little chilly. So, yeah. Let's see. And Ron in Raleigh had a note to get us started this evening. While you have a dirty habit, so do I. Today, while indulging my habit, listening to national propaganda radio, they ran a story about Venezuela and the condition the country is in. The reason the commentator set forth for the country's problem is their own fault. You can hear the scare quotes around that, can't you? The commentator led on that the country has been under U.S. sanctions for 15 years,
According to international law, food, drugs, and other essentials fall outside of sanction regimes. You can't prevent food and medicine and essentials of daily living. You can't make them part of your sanctions. However, Venezuela is under U.S. sanctions, so they can't sell the only export that they have, oil, to pay for food and medicine and basic essentials of living. No money to buy food, and so that's not our fault, according to NPR. We now have sanctions on 29 countries and some individuals. One reason to levy sanctions is if a country ignores UN resolutions. And as Ron notes, as of this year, Israel has been the subject of 53 resolutions, and not one sanction has ever been levied. It must be nice to be completely above the law. The sanction regimes are all about telling sovereign nations how to run their affairs. If you don't, we'll freeze your assets and everyone will get scared to do a damn thing. But we don't interfere in the political affairs of other countries. How would the world be without our reckless, racist, insensitive meddling? I'm just wondering. And you will continue so to wonder, Ron, unless you are Venezuelan or perhaps Cuban or Iranian or North Korean, or but no, the sanctions will never touch Israel. Oh well, because of fetish, and I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just because of the religious mania that grips this country, we fetishize. Israel. Well, okay. Yes, you're absolutely right. I was negligent in that regard, Billable Rick. Asa does get a cowbell for referring to Joe Manchin as the Manchinerian candidate, although Joe has nothing on actor Lawrence Harvey. Truth. And by the way, I owe an apology. I managed to get through the meeting last night, and then because Joe Manchin needed a reminder that infrastructure, that internet infrastructure is in infrastructure. Shortly after concluding my meeting, or maybe during that, I didn't happen to notice, but at some point in time, the internet here went, yep, nothing, bupkis, no thunder, no lightning, no nothing, just boop, gone. Sort of like the blips that happened during the program here, just and wasn't there anymore. And we're okay with the bill. But nonetheless, and so consequently, I did not get the program uploaded, yesterday's truncated hour and a half program. Half a program, really. I didn't get it uploaded until this morning. So thank you for your patience in that regard. It was, trust me, deeply, deeply frustrating. What's that? A question from Brother Usher Steve. Did I see that right in the bulletin? The little old blue-haired ladies made graham cracker pie. Oh, yes, they did. How did? Yes. Yes. I mean, we try to put that in the bulletin every week. And it was indeed fantastic. You know, their graham cracker pie, their graham cracker crusts, their buttermilk pie, their cornbread salad, cornbread pie. There is no end to the creativity of the little old blue-haired ladies in the Fellowship Hall kitchen. Steve notes, you surprised me. I thought the West Virginia pronunciation of flower beds was floor beds. Well, it is. I try to do something approaching correct pronunciation here, simply so it won't be confusing. For instance, the ridge that I can see from the highway is Gauley Mountain, G-A-U-L-E-Y, Gauley Mountain, named for the Gauley River, which also flows nearby. Maybe someday it'll be part of the national park, too. That would be wonderful. One of the fiercest whitewater rafting rivers on the East Coast, and in the country, in fact. Yes, Flarbed, but around here the locals refer to that portion of Gauley Mountain as Fartar Mountain. Fartar. And you got to kind of say it with your mouth closed a little bit. Fartar. which is actually spelled F-I-R-E-T-O-W-E-R, mountain. Fortar. And you need a four-wheel drive to get up Fortar Mountain. But the view of the little valley at the little town at the foot of it is exquisite. It's gorgeous. In fact, from up at Fortar Mountain, you can actually see the New River Gorge Bridge. New River Gorge. Two syllables. New River Gorge. Mm-hmm. So, yes, Steve is a practitioner of the art of hillbilly word knowing, which is not surprising. I mean, he comes from west of Hillbilia, but there's enough cultural overlap that he understands the lingo. Jeffrey, meanwhile, is on the loose and all wound up. Joey writes, White Wall Street. Well, what do you know? One of these tough guy, odious keepers, pled guilty for his part in the insurrection. I hope he sings to the choir of federal prosecutors on prayer meeting Wednesday, and may the domino of walls begin to fall all over these gullible, ignorant minion morons that were so goddamn dumb to fall for Trump's bullshit. Yeah, see what Jeffrey did there with odious and oath? I like to refer to them as oath keepers. O-A-F. Look, I never said the giraffe was brilliant, but he tries. Oh, just in courtesy of WTOP Radio in Washington, Jeffrey likes to listen to WTOP because the station stays on top of the news. They just reported a pedestrian bridge has collapsed on Route 295, which is a major freeway around D.C. and highway that goes up to Baltimore, which led one of the witnesses to the bridge collapse to exclaim, "Oh, my Lord, Baltimore, what are we going to do? I'm only a giraffe, but even I realize that the fall of the bridge would fall under infrastructure." Jesus, even the giraffe understands the significance of a complete infrastructure overhaul. Maybe the two Democrats that caucus with Republicans will figure it out. It's maddening. I was watching my filthy morning habit, and there was Casey Hunt hand-wringing and pearl-clutching about $2 trillion of infrastructure. My Jesus Christ. Yeah, what we need is about $10 trillion worth of infrastructure. We need a complete infrastructure overhaul in this country. And we need to make sure that everybody who wants a job can have a job. Hey, look, I'll bet those two things would dovetail, wouldn't they? But no, Casey Hunt, now that she's a millionaire, was pearl clutching and hand wringing over $2 trillion, which is probably going to be more like $1.2 trillion. And it's going to, you know, they're going to, the Republican plan, to the extent that it's a plan, wants to pay for it on the back of increased gas taxes, which, of course, are regressive taxes and affect you and me more than they ever will millionaires like Joe or Mika or Barnacle or young Willie Geist or fairly recently minted millionaire Casey Hunt by a long shot. But Joey knows Monday night Scott in San Diego and Robin in West Virginia were speaking about the Johnny Carson show, which was classic television. I always love to hear Ed McMahon laugh. In the 80s, I also really liked how Ed McMahon would give it right back to Johnny when Carson would sometimes be a little surly toward his sidekick. Well, on this day in 2009, Ed McMahon died. And this really bothered me because all of a sudden my parents stopped getting those huge sweepstakes checks in the mail. I always wondered what my parents did with all those checks that Ed McMahon used to send them. Maybe it's not just the giraffe. Joey, I don't think they got the checks. Mm-hmm. Per yesterday's journal, where Jerry Sandusky got a mention, it was this day in 2012 that he was convicted of nearly 50 counts of child sexual abuse, and quite frankly, I'm surprised the guy is still alive in any prison for all the damage he did. We mentioned yesterday, Joey says that Mississippi has had as many as 225 African Americans in its state legislatures and the first two black senators in this country before the Reconstruction. Well, guess which state has never had a black legislature in legislator in its state government or in the halls of Congress? That would be Arkansas or Arkansas. Here's hoping Chris Jones can take out Sarah the Huckstervy Sanders and become the first black governor of Arkansas this fall. And speaking of hucksters, Jim Baker had to pay $150,000 for promoting his silver solution and making false claims that it could kill the COVID. Unfortunately, I know you were hoping for a white part. Yes, I know you're all hoping for a silver lining. Yeah. But there's none except that Jim Baker was found guilty in O'Fallon, Missouri, which is the town right next to where Rush Limbaugh is buried. And, curiously, Rush Limbaugh is, before anyone else can ask, still dead. And finally, somebody last night mentioned the median wealth of New Rochelle, New York. And here's a cool fact. New Rochelle population consists of 20% black people, which is more than the national average of 15%. A very wealthy hamlet that features some Wall Street employees residing within its confines. Unfortunately, Wall Street does not tolerate black people very well, considering that less than 3% of Wall Street's employees are black. Shame on Wall Street. Hence the title of today's journal, White Wall Street. This has been Joey's Journal for Parameeting Wednesday, the 23rd day of June, 2021. With Giraffe high atop the WTOP towers, looking down shamefully on Wall Street. And there's a $10 Shame on Wall Street challenge. Thank you. Thank you, Joey, and thank you, Giraffe. And if that is met, that'll get us down to, what was that, 8, oh dear God, 873.34. Let's go ahead and write that number down on a napkin. 873.34, because it's those extra censuses that make things such a mess. The billable Rick says, let's all give Joey and Giraffe a cowbell for Joey's tale of his publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes, his parent trillionaires. Yeah, I mean, that's it. Let publisher's clearinghouse pay for the infrastructure bill. Jesus Christ. Suman with a note, just a reminder, infrastructure. The disgruntled old party bastards had absolutely no problem just giving away $1.5 trillion to billionaires in the form of tax cuts. Yeah, there's trillions, and then there's trillions. And I'm thinking more and more, as I've watched her over the last year or so, more and more I'm pretty convinced that Casey Hunt is a, I'm guessing she's a Republican. You know, probably one of those mavericky John McCain Republicans or some such, right? What's that? Billable Rick, hillbilly elitist. Billable Rick says, admit that you're not just a hillbilly elitist based on your vast knowledge of the hillbilly lexicon, but you're also a goddamn neoliberal establishment shill hillbilly elitist. I thought that went without saying. Lee, not golly, G-O-L-L-Y, mountain, golly, G-A-U-L-E-Y. It's a different pronunciation even. Golly, all, not golly, Sergeant Carter. No, it has nothing to do with Gomer Pyle, but thanks just the same. Lee adds, just because of the mention of Ed McMahon, I wanted to share. I received a You May Have Won envelope addressed to my father. I called Publishers Clearinghouse to tell them that if my father wins, they need to send the prize money to the cemetery where he's been for 5 years. That's not how this works, Lee. Had he won it, you would happily have... You get the idea. And The Art of Accounting Knowing... Based on Joey's journal, Steve notes, I mentioned the median income of New Rochelle, not the wealth. Those, apparently, are entirely different animals, yes. And so, brethren and sistren, here we are. We find ourselves, glory, hallelujah, at the very firstest, prayer meeting Wednesdays back here. In the sanctuary. Yes, indeed, brethren and sistren. Here in a minute, I'm going to call up the minister of music, and we will have the offertory hymn. And the deacons are fairly chomping at the bit because they need to work off some excess tonnage. They were not exactly a svelte lot to begin with, brethren and sistren, but the pandemic, as it did with so many of us, hung a little bit of weight on them, and they need to work it off. So they will be moving amongst the faithful, and passing those heavy brass velvet lined plates back and forth through the pews. That's P-E-W, pew, not it's Le Pew, not pew. Never mind. I think Pepe Le Pew has been canceled. And probably for good reason. Oh, Jesus, how do we get here? What makes this happen? Nonetheless, they will be moving back and forth. And consequently, I will, at this point in time, after, you know, everybody having filed into the sanctuary from the fellowship hall, where, yes, the dessert was fabulous, but so too was the dinner. The good little old blue-haired ladies had some nice seedless watermelon cut up in little bowls, and it was nice cool things, a nice green salad, some creamy coleslaw, yeah, and some bacon potato salad that they had ready to. It was kind of like an appetizer fellowship hall prayer meeting or pre-prayer meeting supper. And they even did some baked beans and chopped up some weenies in them, and it was it seemed to go over quite well, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely taste tempting, because when the little old blue-haired ladies set out to make some baked beans and bake the weenies into them, you know you're getting top-shelf beanie weenies. Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. And so, having trundled up out of the basement, the deacons, having wiped out all the graham cracker pie, well, the deacons are ready to pass the plate and hopefully get us down beyond $873.34, or get us, you know, down from that in terms of the fundraising deficit. So, Brother Minister of Music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
How hot, Sut Ross
Boston on the Rilla Rock, and a brawl to sue it. I love you. Welcome, welcome, one and all, to Prayer Meeting Wednesday. We are back in our little fake, phony, baloney cathedral, and just a praying and a praising and a glorifying for all we're worth. Ha! Glory. Yes, indeed. I'm calling on you right now to get up out of your seats and onto your feet and scrunch and screech and wiggle and waggle and waddle and come on out from betwixt the pews and come on down that blood red aisle and fall upon your knees. Oh, glory. And lay your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense of flowing through you from the server on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Grand Guru, Robin Kincaid, and this, brethren and sistren, is Prayer Meeting Wednesday, the horn. Amen, amen, and amen. Yes, yes indeed. So brethren and sistren, open your hearts and your minds and be prepared to be fulfilled by the love, oh my mercy sakes alive, the love that passeth all understanding amongst the followers of the Prince of peace. Amen and amen. I have not mentioned it, but over the course of the past weekend, there was a tragedy down in Florida. A person was accidentally hit by a truck at a pride parade in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Gay Men's Chorus was there for a pride event, and another member of the chorus accidentally ran over somebody. The vehicle got out of control. At first, we were afraid it was a terrorist attack, but it turned out it was what the law refers to as negligence. Bad things sometimes happen. But the followers of Christ Jesus, amen, didn't see it that way. Enter Jonathan Shelley of Steadfast Baptist Church in Hearst, Texas, out near the Fort Worth. And by the way, the folks who founded, and that probably includes Jonathan Shelley, Steadfast Baptist Church, apparently can't spell. Yeah, there should theoretically at least be a second. There should be two A's in steadfast, one instead and the other in fast, but they forgot the one instead. Not instead, instead. It gets a little confusing. Jonathan Shelley, he is an acolyte of that goober, hate-filled monstrosity Christian Stephen Anderson's church. They call themselves New Independent Fundamental Baptist Churches. There's so many different kinds of Baptists, you have to hang all kinds of adjectives in front of them. So this is New Independent Fundamental Baptist Churches. And mostly what they spend their time doing is hating on folks that they decide need hating on real good. And just about everybody that they decide needs hating on real good is anybody who they decide doesn't love each other the way they want people to be loved, at least if anybody's watching them. By I mean the folks over there at your New Independent Fundamental Baptist Churches, because there's a lot of money in Merca. There's a lot of money in good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian hate. And so it is that we have Jonathan Shelley, who wasn't satisfied that just one human being's universe ended that day in Fort Lauderdale. No.
It's going beyond just saying you do all this wicked stuff. It's saying you enjoy it. You enjoy murder. You enjoy malignity. You enjoy hating God. Look, there's only one group that enjoys that. It's the pride parades going up and down the street.
Yeah.
And you know, it's great when trucks accidentally go through those, you know, parades. I think only one person died, so hopefully we can hope for more in the future.
Behold the love that passeth all understanding. Behold American Christianity. And, you know, Christianity in general.
You say, well, that's mean. Yeah, but the Bible says that they're worthy of death. You say, are you sad when fags die? No, I think it's great. I hope they all die. I would love it if every fag would die right now. And you say, well, I don't think that's what you really mean. That's exactly what I mean.
When people tell you who they are, believe them the first time. Imagine what a rotten, pathetic, miserable life Jonathan Shelley must lead. It's revolting, but hey, just like the offertory hymn says, it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Much more of this love, and there won't be anything left to hate. And of course, remember, please, that this is also a form of stochastic terrorism. Because he is a minister of the gospel, and that means he's in the business of hustling tickets out of hell and into heaven. So if he loves it when people run their vehicles through crowds of members of the LGBTQQIA plus community, then that must certainly be absolvable, and maybe it'll get him a special place at the right hand of God. Ever notice, the hotter the climate, the meaner the gods. I mean, Thor and Odin, they can be troublesome, and they can be warlike, but I don't think they can hold a candle to old Yahweh, Allah, God, or in this hemisphere, good old Whitsalo Pochtli. Who demands blood for its sustenance. The hotter the climate, the meaner the god. In Norse mythology, you get Loki. He's a trickster. And indigenous, further North American deities, you get Coyote. And Coyote is a trickster god. But they're not vicious. But your Jonathan Shillys of the world are vicious just like their God is. Sick, twisted, sadistic, thriving on blood and hatred. Why, it's almost enough to make you think that they're actually worshiping the devil. That could be, yeah. So, because I'm going to be going to another Pride event this Saturday. I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to it. Down in Greenbrier County, which is just to the southeast of my county, we border them. I'm going to be going down to Lewisburg. They're having their first ever Pride parade. And it should be a great deal of fun. But I will also keep my eyes open. Because you never know when one of these people that follows the likes of a Jonathan Shelley, you never know when they're going to try to drive through your event. It's a pity. It's a real damn shame. That people have to be constantly vigilant to make sure that they're not, or to try to make sure that they're not murdered by the followers of the Prince of Peace. You know, if Jonathan Shelley ever got to sit down with one of them Iranian mullahs or one of them Saudi, one of them Saudi clerics. And they started talking about all the people they hate.
I think it would be a wind sprint to see which one converted the other. Because I think this dude can out-hate a mullah every day of the week and twice on Sunday. Oof. Yeah, I know. And Matt in San Francisco says, subject line, Jonathan, be sure to bookmark this guy. Anyone who speaks that much hate sooner or later will be caught with a man in his mouth. Excuse me while I turn off my gaydar. I'm not telling you, Matt, to run over to Friendly Atheist, but I think dude has a closet in his house. Because, well, the klaxons were clanging for me too. And I think you have a long history of being right about this kind of stuff, Matt, and that's probably because, you know, you're expert gay. You're like a level 33, you know, with, you got all the 72-sided dice and everything. Yeah, I think you're right. I absolutely think you're right. And while we're at it, in his journal, Joey pointed out that Jim Baker has himself some more money problems. He's been busted. He owes a bunch of money for having hustled his silver solution. Mm-hmm. A COVID cure, remember, right? Yeah. Well, that's why Jim has a new hustle out. Maybe the bucket pudding. Maybe he sold out. Maybe he's completely sold out of bucket pudding after COVID-19. When last we checked in, he was hustling credentialed missionary cards. Those were $215, and the credentialed missionary card was a gift if you bought a bunch of books for $215. This shit works. This shit works. Now he's selling a blankie. Oh, dear God. Blankies. What? No whoopee? Yeah, I know. On and on and on. But since we did have, Jonathan Schilly there yammering on about hoping that people get run over at Pride. Well, if you were to ask Tony Norman, yes, Mother Bates Perkins, Pride Month is apparently a rainbow onslaught, and you need survival tips for it, or else you'll come out the far side of Pride Month. And,
good evening, and welcome to Pray, Vote, Stand. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council. Tonight, surviving the rainbow onslaught. When you can't turn on the television, shop for cereal, or scroll through Facebook without being hit over the head with LGBT pride.
Yeah, because LGBT pride is, of course, it's a cudgel. It's like a really heavy fireplace poker, and you can't get cereal. I mean, goddamn, please. I'm afraid we're we might be taxing Kyle's ability to tolerate the madness a little bit this evening. As Kyle points out, agreeing with Matt a moment ago, this is oftentimes the case. They hide behind the sky spooks as excuses for hate because they have demons or things they can't accept about themselves. Pretty fucked up, to be honest. Wait, Jim Baker
with three K's and two, instead of two. Not a typo. Has new stuff he's selling? How much shit do they need if the end is coming soon? How do people fall for this shit? Well, it's... You got to consider who he's hustling it to. Atne Ute Aitbre, if you own a what I inme. And by the way, Kyle mentioned his sister's best friend coming out a couple of nights ago. This is an update from something I mentioned on Monday. She came out to her parents' bye, and her father was actually much more supportive than she and we were expecting. So I guess best outcome possible given the circumstances. She said thank you for all the positive vibes and good thoughts. That warms my heart, and I know it warms the community's heart. Kyle, tell her that our continued good vibes and good thoughts and hopes travel with her. That's wonderful. Just wonderful. As to Jonathan Shelley, Megan, and I've been putting the... Shelley. It's like, you know, down south there's Shelley beans. Shelley beans. The beans got to be shelled. Shelley beans. Yummy. As to Jonathan Shelley, Megan says, Matt beat me to it, though I thought this guy was either a former gay porn actor or has a secret stash of gay porn somewhere. Well, I think he probably does have the aforementioned secret stash, and who knows about the former... Because, you know, there's people have a lot of different lives before they hear the good news of Jeebus Christ about how it's cool when people get run over by pickup trucks. And for the love of all that's good and sane and holy, Robin, please be fucking careful out there. Thank you. Thank you, Megan. I try to walk away from fights, but if I get a whiff of anything happening to you, I'm hunting down the bastards who did it. Be safe. I will. You know, I was when I went to Pride Saturday before last over in Beckley, I was fully expecting to see a bunch of hooting, barking, grunting freaks, but there was only one. He was kind of sad and pathetic, and he had a big sign that said, had LGBT. He forgot. I guess he ran out of room for the queue, and it just said, "Let God burn them." If he'd had room for the queue, it could have. But he wasn't that sharp. It could have been quickly. Oh, for pity's sakes! But they too, Atne Ute Aitbre, and people just sort of, you know, took pictures. It was just another display. It's like, oh look, here's the homemade donuts over here, and there's the snow cones, and there's the Christian hate. Leah, New York, what? Wait, Tony, Norman, yes, Mother Bates, Perkins, can't escape Pride Month? Try Hulu, Paramount, HBO Max, Disney Plus, and so many more. There's lots of places. Or he could just go to Chick-fil-A. Bet they're not flying no rainbow flags. And Darlene in Connecticut asked, geez, what happened to freedom of speech, F-R-E-E-D-U-M-B? I guess it doesn't apply to all you LGBTQQIA plus types. Yeah, last I checked, it still does, but... Or maybe it's just that people are beginning to celebrate the rich diversity of the human condition, because this has always been the human condition. People have always been broadly divergent in terms of gender and sexuality. It's just a question of how authoritarian the governing superstructure was and the operating philosophy as to whether people could just live their lives. And we are at a place in time now where people are just going to live their lives. It was really, really sweet. I was in the store the other day, and the young woman who was checking me out, I don't mean checking me out. I mean, I was, you know, checking out at the checkout. You know what I mean. And we got into a conversation. I said, yeah, they're having their pride in Lewisburg on Saturday. And she said, really? I said, yes, their first one. She said, oh, I want to go. And I said, I'm going. And she said, we were at the Beckley one a couple of weeks ago. I said, yeah, I was too. It was my first. And she smiled real big. And she said, yeah, it was our first too. Our first. And I think that was just wonderful. People, you know, living their lives without the help of the Tony, Norman, yes, Mother Bates, Perkinses of the world. Oh, I know, Kyle noting. Yeah, but Robin, he's just spreading God's love. Well, like so many abusive males, Yahweh, Jehovah, God, Allah, has a particularly violent way of showing his affection for his children. And from the Say His Name, Stephen, New York, tells us the man who was killed in Florida was named Jim Fahey. He used to live here in New York City, and a number of friends of mine knew him. I do recognize the photo, but I'm not sure I knew him. I think he was a parishioner at my church or one of the other pro-LGBT churches in New York. May the people who knew and loved him have peace, and may his memory be joyful in their hearts. I wonder if Jonathan Schilly knew his name or had seen a photo. Doesn't matter. He's sick. Schilly is, and full of hate. Yeah, back to Tony.
How should Christians respond? Thanks to woke corporate America and the most radical administration in history, there's no escaping the left's forced sexual revolution.
Forced. People are being forced to go to pride parades. Forced. Forced, I tell you, to be non-binary. Forced to be lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, queer, queer questioning, intersex, asexual. Forced. Because of woke corporate America. I want to tell you what, they say woke like it's dirty. Has anybody bothered to tell the Tony Norman, yes, Mother Bates, Perkinses of the world, that he's making light of a colloquial form of speech begun by young African-American people? Anybody? Has anybody told old Tone that this makes him sound like a sure enough, no kidding Klansman? But then again, he is from Louisiana, Stan, and he did begin his ministry with a mailing list that he bought from David Duke and the Klan. So, you know, please make a note of it. And of course, there's no greater ego than the egos of these assholes who feel like that they are empowered to tell Christians what to think and how to believe, because apparently Christians are the stupidest people on earth because they cannot think for themselves without being told by some Bible-banging gospel sharp how to think.
What does the Bible say about confronting the culture's rebellion? How did we get to the point where celebrating sex and transgenderism became a 30-day event that rivals Christmas? We have a president who's flying the...
Oh, no! It rivals Christmas! Really? Does the war on Christmas start in June now? As Matt in San Francisco points out, sexual revolution, forced sexual anything, is never good. Because that's not freedom. So I don't know what happened in Tony Norman, yes, Mother Bates Perkins's world. Did somebody come out and shock him and break his heart? Well, somebody will. I mean, just playing the odds. Daddy, yeah, honey, I'm a lesbian. Satan, get thee hence! Can you imagine? I mean, doesn't your heart break? Because mine does. For anyone who has to live in a family like the family that Tony Perkins probably runs, what would happen to a child related to him if they said that they were part of the community represented by the rainbow flag? Heartrending. Heartrending. Kind of almost makes you wonder about who's possessed by demons and who ain't. Christmas? Asks Matt. Oh dear, I think I'm stressing Matt out. Oh shit, I haven't purchased anything for my husband for Pride Month. I need to go check the rainbow sales paper. Come on down to Mattress Warehouse. No, come on over to Billy Bob's Used Car Lot. It's Pride Month. Jesus, these sad fucks can't even figure out that it's all marketing. It's rainbow washing. Just like green washing. Just like black and brown washing. It's all capitalism, and Tony's supposed to love him some capitalism. Yeah, I know. That's the trouble with prayer meeting Wednesday. Kyle, with a question, if living your authentic life is a so-called act of rebellion, what does that say about the people you're supposedly rebelling against? Again, these fuckers have zero sense of self-awareness. No, none. Zip, zilch, zada, niente. Mm-mm. How was it that Ernest Hemingway redid the Paternoster? Our nada, which art in nada, nada be thy name. Thy nada come, thy nada be done, on nada as we nada. Yeah. Yeah, they don't understand that the real rebellion is living one's inauthentic life, and that way lies miserable death. But hey, they don't care because they wish we'd all get run over by a pickup truck. Rivals Christmas, Megan asks. Try Salem, Massachusetts on Halloween, dickhead, and I'll show you a holiday that rivals Christmas. Wait a minute. But then again, if he was in a circle with a bunch of witches, he'd piss his pants. Or pay them to piss on him. I mean, you know, we're talking about a fundamentalist Christian here. And what was that about the radical leftist administration? Yeah. Lee in New York says, rainbow washing? I wash my car. I never washed a rainbow. No, it's not the... It's, sometimes we have to explain things. It is the act of pretending to be friendly to the gay community when in fact... Right, yeah.
...and transgenderism became a 30-day event...
Ism! Transgenderism!
We have a president who's flying the rainbow flag above U.S. flag, above the U.S. flag at our embassies. Democratic Congress that thinks the military...
Actually, he's not. They aren't. They displayed a photo of an embassy building that has a rainbow flag on it, and the American flag on the flagpole was in front of it, and it was on a taller part of the... What? This is the kind of shit they waste their time on, because they're just bigoted, ugly, hate-filled idiots. The rainbow flag wasn't even on the flagpole, and it certainly was not above the American flag, and frankly, no American government employee would ever do such a thing. Jesus God, these people. They're flying it above the American flag, the most radical. And then, oh no, they showed, they've got a photograph of some people standing in front of, and I guess it's, I don't know if it's the Air Force or the Marines or whatever, but there are a bunch of people standing in front of a fighter bomber jet aircraft, and they got a couple of rainbow flags there too. You know, nothing says, and this, you want to talk about rainbow washing? This is that. Displaying the rainbow flag in front of a vehicle that is designed to deliver massive carnage and death. Well, as long as gay people are getting to deliver the massive carnage and death, it'll be okay. Yeah. Seriously, Darlene in Connecticut asks, why should Christians have to respond? Here's a novelty. Why don't Christians mind their own fucking business for once? Forget once. How about all the time? Are they so unsteady and uncertain in their faith that someone coming out or going to a pride event will cause them to lose their faith or burn in hell when they kick or reveal them for who they really are and are hiding? Damn! Does that open a Pandora's box? Or rather, in this case, a Pandora's closet.
Oh, my God, Robin, you're now an ism. Yes, we're an ism. Maybe hornism can be a subgroup-ism. Merciful God. Yeah, they can't mind their own business because they think Jesus told them not to mind their own business. Go ye unto all the world and yada, yada, yada. He didn't tell them about the caveat of don't be surprised if somebody cuts your head off. You'll be doing it for me, so that's great. Hi, I'm Robin Kincaid. Ism. Kyle. Biden, AOC, and Ilhan Omar brought on the gay, transgender, one world socialist, communist agenda. Satan has taken over. Ah! Baruga, baruga, baruga. You've pretty much got the... They sent you a copy of the script, didn't they, Kyle?
Military should salute pride on base, and a White House that brags almost 14% of its 1,500 appointees are LGBT.
It brags? You know, I saw the text of that. It didn't look like, and we're better than you. There was no bragging involved. It was a simple statement of fact. How dare they acknowledge that their 14% of the appointees are LGBTQ? Yeah, the thing is, though, after you separate all the L's, the G's, the B's, the T's, the Q's, the Q's, the QQ's, the I's, and the A's, it all works out to, 1% is this, 1% is that. No, by God, says Tony Norman, yes, Mother Bates, Perkins, who bought his first mailing list from the Klan. All appointees need to be white.
You can't blame people for wondering, when did we become identified by our sexual proclivities? The world.
It's a proclivity. And you know what? I just want you to know in this libertine world, you can wash your proclivity as fast as you want to.
The world is upside down when American pride is something we should apologize for, but sexual perversion is the stuff of praise. Just a few decades ago, these activists said.
I mean, you want perversion? It's just a thought experiment. Just try. See if you can do this without, dinner being ruined in the Eastern and Central Daylight time zones. It's just a thought experiment. Just try to imagine Norman, or Tony, Norman, yes, Mother Bates, Perkins, just try to imagine him without his clothing. Try to imagine him and Mrs. Tony Norman, yes, Mother Bates, Perkins, having sex with the lights on. Of course, they never do that because, Jesus would see them. Or maybe try to imagine what happens when Mrs. Tony Norman, yes, Mother Bates, Perkins, goes out of town to visit the kids, something like that. Because that happened. Not to Tony, but it was a bunch of years ago. We have a song about it. I won't play it. But about the dear friend of Jerry Falwell, who was a pastor at a Baptist church in Montgomery, Alabama, and the little woman went to visit family up in North Carolina, Stan, and, when she got back, her husband was found in two latex suits and with a dildo in his mouth and one elsewhere, and, he had sort of masturbated himself to death because he was a good, God-fearing Christian. Or then there's the Church of Christ minister who's one man and one woman spouse gave him both barrels of a 12 gauge, or maybe just one barrel of a 12 gauge shotgun in the back because of those stripper heels he made her wear, and without which he could not reach the heights of passion. Yeah. I know, Kyle. Robin, they're just jealous. They're not comfortable in their own skin. It's sad, really. I almost feel sorry for them. Yeah, and emphasis on the word almost, because they spend so much time
trying to stochastically spread terrorism so that, you know, people can be murdered.
That all they wanted was recognition, autonomy, coexistence. Now, a handful of years after Obergefell, it's not enough to leave them alone with their choices. They demand validation.
Well, we really don't know, Tony, because you won't leave people alone with their choices, which aren't choices. I mean, when did... I know, dinner's already long gone, but when did Tony decide to be... And we're making a big assumption here. When did Tony decide to be heterosexual? Choices. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Bible verse. By their sexual proclivities, you shall know them. Stephen New York says, we don't use our sexual proclivities to identify ourselves. I can promise you I don't introduce myself as, ha, hello, I'm gay Steve who really likes rough sex. I know. I thought you said you were big gay Steve. Well, never mind. Let's leave. Yeah, I know. It's like I know. Socks. It's like that, buddy. Masturbated to death. Talk about Matt says. Talk about not knowing if you're coming or going. And that whole thing happened at a time when Alabama had forbidden the purchase of marital aids inside the state of Alabama. And yes, the song was based on John Prine's Angel from Montgomery, and I'm still ashamed of myself for it. And I put the lyric together on the way to and from Summersville, got back home, typed it all out, sent it to John Fox. John Fox turned it around, and oh, my God. Really? I'll play it for you. I will, Sox, I promise. And it was called Send Me a Dildo, I Can't Buy One in Montgomery. Well, are you just figuring that out, Kyle? Kyle says, I didn't bring enough alcohol to the meeting. I'm going to need to make another trip to the liquor store. Load up! We got two more hours. Nah, we're not going to stay on the religious crap that long.
Affirmation. Celebration. Pride is the new religion.
Wait, he didn't use masturbation?
And everyone must bow a knee to their sexual gods or face the left's fiery furnace. Is it just me, or is it almost like...
Nah, it's just you, Tony, really. It's not me, it's you.
Neon sign that this is called Pride Month. The very thing that when we read throughout Scripture is the downfall of man is pride. It's almost as if, as I prayed a few moments ago about shaking a collective fist in the face of God.
You know, I get the idea. The goddess of irony owns Tony Norman Bates. Yes, Mother Perkins. Yeah. Shaking? Are you shaking something there, Tony? Yeah.
Well, there they go. They're mocking a man of God.
You wonder if the spiritual forces behind Pride Month have tipped their hand.
Oh, thank God that clip is over. So happy. One more, and then we'll quit. We will quit the religion grift. Oh, Ralphs, I don't think I'd be able to find it if I went. It's tucked away somewhere. I don't. Because Ralphs said, "Oh, please play it, Robin." Where might I have? No, it's not there. Yeah. Oh, dear God. There it is. No. No, that just turned up the lyric. Holy shit, Tony. Megan says, take a knee and bow before their sexual god.
the hell kind of secret sex dungeon does this dude have in his basement? This is Eyes Wide Shut territory. Ack! Blech! I need eye bleach, brain bleach, all the bleach. Eyes Wide Shut territory. That's serious cowbell material, Megan. Wait a minute. Kyle caught it. Wait, back from the liquor store so soon, are we, Kyle? Wait a minute. Is he trying to tell us that Jesus is a gay leftist? Well, he did wear a dress every day of his life, so there's that. Is it on the... I'm only going to take a minute just to scan the desktop here. Oh, shit. There it is. All right. By request for Ralphs, who does so much for the program. Here it is. John Fox on vocals, guitar. Lyrics are mine. It's a long-distance dedication going out to Tony
Norman, yes, Mother Bates,
Perkins, here on the horn.
I am a good Christian, got a good congregation. My wife's on vacation, and the kids are all grown. I've got me some swimsuits, rubber's my desire. Got a head mask of latex that makes me just moan. Send me a dildo, I can't buy one in Montgomery. Send me a sex toy, but the deacons can't know. Just give me one ear hole that I can breathe. And just so when I was a young man, I went to seminary, prayed to Jesus to cleanse me of my and got married. We had a baby. Rubber and latex got me all tied up in knots. Send me a dildo, can't buy one in Montgomery. Send me a sex toy, but the deacons can't. Sex toy, I guess the wife's gonna know.
You know, that's a truly disturbing lyric. And but every time I hear that, I'm reminded of what a brilliant talent John Fox was and is. Astonishingly talented. What a beautiful singing voice. And to have to do that lyric. But John's a trooper, and wow, I didn't realize it went back that far. Ralph said, according to my music library, you created Pastor from Montgomery in 2007. 14 years old. Brother Deacon Ace, this is cowbell for working in the rusty trombone reference into the song, and since the song's about Montgomery, shame on you for not working in an Alabama steamer reference. It's a Cleveland steamer. But never mind. But say what you will, Brother Deacon, Asa adds, Brian B. Fish Fisher warned us about this all the way back in 2014. If this sodomy stuff isn't bottled up in San Francisco, this kind of nonsense, then it's going to be spreading across the entire fruited plain, and you're going to be going to your Burger King in Des Moines, Iowa, and you're going to have a rainbow color wrapper for your Whopper. That's a real quote, because the goddess of irony predates all other deities. And a rainbow-colored wrapper for your Whopper. Well, I'll let that speak for itself, won't I? Yes, absolutely. You're more than welcome. The big laugh there with Kyle. I'm glad you enjoyed it. It's worth playing every now. We did several of those, and it was a lot of fun. I can't believe that's 14 years old. Wow. All right, one more and done, and we'll actually get to the, no kidding, actual news of the day. Let's check in with another Robin. This is an R-O-B-I-N Robin, just like I was assigned at birth. But this Robin is a prophet, and this Robin's last name is Bullock. Never mind the Bullocks. Here's the Sex Pistols. He's a prophet. Oh, not an Alabama steamer. An Alabama hot pocket. That's well, maybe. Maybe I didn't know anything about Alabama hot pockets. I don't think so. I may be wrong, but I don't think so. That's not the same one, Jeremy. John's down up over down under in Australia. Back to Robin Bullock, which sounds kind of weird anyway. Robin Bullock. Sounds like burgling Bullock. Never mind. Robin Bullock he's a prophet, because just ask him, he'll tell you so. And he hustles something called the 11th hour. He warns his. You know, he warns the poor Atne Ute Aitbre folks who pay attention to him about all manner of satanic stuff out there, and guess you know who's got Satan just on you, and it's just obvious because all you got to do is look and see. And Robin Bullock, by the way, has long shaggy Jesus hair and wears a leather trench coat on stage because he's like an edgy Christian. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know who you can tell is a Satanist just from looking at you? Joe Biden. Yeah, yeah. It's like that old joke. You can tell somebody's a poet because of their feet. They're Longfellas. Ah. Oh God, that's old. I had to blow the dust off of that before I could tell it.
well, you can tell people, you can tell somebody's just got the devil all over them because of their eyes. Yeah, their eyes. It's in the eyes.
Now, that serpent spirit is in possession now. It's amazing to me that the Lord spoke to me a prophetic word when Joe Biden was, when this fake inauguration took place.
Yeah, see, he had to be careful there. He had to measure his... Wait a minute, I think that's a wig. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's a... Uh-huh. That long Jesus hair is a wig. I think he probably got it for $22.95 on Amazon. Never mind. Doesn't matter. But did you notice how he had to be careful because otherwise his grift will all come tumbling down? He almost said when Joe Biden was elected, and then he stumbled and sort of regrouped.
Spoke to me a prophetic word when Joe Biden was when this fake inauguration took place.
don't smarten up the chumps, bub.
The Lord spoke to me a word and said,
dickhead. No, the Lord did not speak a word to him and say, dickhead. No, that's two words. Maybe he thought it was the Lord and it was actually the Professor Spicoli.
You dick.
Maybe, you think?
Now, the office of the president has been vacated, and there's a jackal sitting in the seat.
Well, that's okay. For 4 years, we had a jackass sitting in the seat. I'd say that's an improvement.
Of the president in the Oval Office. A jackal. Well, you think of a jackal as a, and then, you know, then after that, jackals invaded Israel, northern Israel, and jackals started showing up around. I think even North Korea called him a wild dog. Speaking of a jackal. But I want to tell you something else. There's something else about a jackal. When the Bible says when Moses stood in front...
Please, goddess of irony. Please, goddess of irony. Make him say a jackal ate something. And when a jackal ate... Please, 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 please.
...front of the burning bush, and he threw his rod down on the ground. The script...
Really, his rod? Is that after the jackal ate it?
Scripture says it became a nakash in Hebrew, which means a snake. But then when he stood before Pharaoh, it says he threw his rod down and it became a tanim, not a nakash.
Well, it's all clear to me now. Got to wonder where this guy learned his Hebrew. That he, you know, Scott was talking about the other night. You know, when you fill out the back of the match, but when you fill out the matchbook cover, take the matches out first. Don't mail matches through the mail. Draw the pirate, draw Spunky the turtle, and they'll give you your degree in ancient Hebrew.
It became a snake in front of the burning bush and a tanim in front of Pharaoh. Tanim is another word for serpent, but it also means jackal.
And the jackal ate the... Please, please. I don't ask much. Please.
It also means jackal. And so this ought to be amazing to you because to show you we're back at the time of the...
Oh, come on. Tell the rest of the story because Pharaoh's wizards did the thing and the jackal ate the other serpents. I knows my Bible.
Serpent tempting the world to become woke that their eyes may be opened. Oh, come on. Somebody ought to be getting that. That their eyes.
No, you haven't gotten to the punchline yet. Nobody's getting it, Robin.
Eyes may be open. It's the same phrase. Tempting, saying you're missing something. You're not free. You must take of this and be woke. That your eyes be open. And so the world is reaching into the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, trying to become woke. Now, while there's a jackal on the scene,
Oh, come on. The jackal's hungry. You gotta do this.
I remember I watched Joe Biden during the campaign that he clearly lost.
Clearly lost. Yeah, I mean, 78 million people voted for him and 75 million voted for Trump, and he clearly lost. Clearly, that word, I don't think it means what you think it means. I'm beginning to wonder myself, Megan. Megan says, is this prayer meeting Wednesday or Dr. Robin Westheimer's psychedelic trip through evangelical sexual fantasies? These preachers screech and sound like confessions. At least the Catholics do it in the confessional. Oh, boy, do they do it in the confessional. Snickers and a Coke. Also, Alabama Steamer, Alabama Hot Pocket. I'm insanely curious, but I'm afraid to look it up on Google. Help! Well, stay the hell out of the Urban Dictionary. For all I know, Alabama Hot Pocket really is a phrase, and Brother Deacon Asa didn't just make it up. No, really, Megan, don't. Don't. Brother Deacon Asa has provided me the Urban Dictionary definition. Don't. I'm really not going to be okay. Oh, Pastor Robin Westheimer, please don't give me an F in your divinity class for not turning in my assignment. Ejaculate my homework. Yeah, no. Alabama Hot Pocket really is. Don't look it up, Jesus Christ. I'm not okay. Use it in a sentence. Sorry, Dave, I can't come to the pub tonight. Me and the wife are having an Alabama Hot Pocket to celebrate my promotion at work. Don't look it up. I mean it. This is not a way of getting you to look it up. Don't look it up. Ejaculate my homework. Oh, there's so much crazy shit going on in the world. Sometimes we just have to laugh. A theological question for prayer meeting Wednesday. My question is this. Is the reason fundies hate rainbows? My theory is God came out in the book of Genesis by producing the rainbow after the flood. Do you think I'm on the right track, your buddy Dave in the blind? I think you're onto something. Look, you know, most of the Old Testament is stories about how you ought not to behave. Oh no, we need to revere the patriarch. No, every one of the patriarchs are assholes. And somewhere it was lost in translation. It's not be like these people. It's don't be like these people. You got that, Dave? Yeah. Oh, God. When does the clip end?
He lost big. He lost enough to be ashamed. He lost enough to tell him nobody likes you, Joe.
Is that what we should... I mean, you know, because Trump lost big, too. And nobody... Well, nobody with an IQ over, say, you know, 70 likes him, either.
I mean, he lost enough to know that. Hey, I mean, it was so bad. If they would show him the real numbers, the man would be ashamed. But I remember he leaned into the mic and told President Trump, "We're coming for you."
Huh?
And he growled out this demonic sound. Like
a jackal. Like a jackal. No, that's kind of a cat, isn't it? That sounded like socks. Woof.
Can't make the sound, but... It was this demonic voice. I've heard him make it again recently. And he growled this out. When he did, I went back and I took a picture. I think it was at that moment. It was one of the moments I took a picture
on
my phone, right on television.
Right on the television.
Nobody else's picture. I took it. And when I pulled it up, his eyes at that moment... I can't see it, but tell me if we can put that up on the screen and it's clear on the eyes. We're trying to do something here for you.
Oh, I hate it when there's I hate it when there's visual references on a radio program. Yep, there it is, the picture that Prophet Robin Bullock took of his TV set and it might be of Joe Biden. I don't know. Why am I using his accent? But right there on the side, right there on the side of just up above his eye, you can see that's his little breathing hole where he breathes through the side of his head like the lava lizards of the Galapagos Islands.
Up there now? Yes. Okay, it's up there now. Look at the eyes. If you look at the...
It's only one eye.
The eyes, you'll notice they're serpent's pupils. They're slotted pupils.
Because Robin Bullock would never manipulate a photograph or anything. No. I know, Jeremy. I know. Well, Jesus, what kind of a fake church are you running, Robin? Alabama Hot Pocket, really? Starting to wonder how your fake God is. I know. Brother Deacon Asa just said a minute ago, see what you've been missing all this time? Yeah, I do, and I was happy to keep missing it. Jesus, I hope Agnes isn't looking up Alabama Hot Pocket. No. Meanwhile, Billable Rick. Robin, stop telling us what not to look up in the Urban Dictionary. An Alabama Hot Pocket me. Oh, no, too late. The eyes. The eyes.
Now, other times, they're not like that. But at time, it shows a slotted serpent's eye.
Anybody want to explain to Robin Bullock pixels and TV screens? And because, I could probably see the seam in his wig if I took a picture of him with the... Oh, never mind.
People say, oh, that was Photoshop. No, it wasn't either. I took the picture.
Yeah, it wasn't either because I done tooken it. Just like this hair is real.
And he shows up more than once with that slotted serpent's eye. It's because we're back at that place where Satan is trying to offer the world that their eyes may be opened, but it's not King James anymore. It's woke.
Well, okay, and that made so much sense. Yeah, you're right. You're right, Jeremy. Billable Rick. Okay, that needs a cowbell. I just spit while laughing at that. Stop it. Okay. That's enough of this nonsense. We're halfway through the program. The deacons continue to pass the plate, and they continue to kind of peck on the bottom of it because it remains empty. We are at $873.34. Joey and Giraffe's challenge was met. It would be great if we could, fund Monday. And that's $273.34 away. Yeah, we're a little over 25 bucks into funding Monday. That's a great way to have, bills is bills. So we will bid a fond farewell to Robin Bullock. And aren't we happy about that? Yeah. And while we're talking about silly people, how about a moment? And it's not really news. It's a millionaire TV personality talking about another millionaire radio video personality. But Cucky Tucky Carlson, it was a couple of nights ago when he posed the question, why do we laugh at Alex Jones again? Well, if you're asking okay. Serving as a member of the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department, Brother Deacon Asa says, holy shit, I just looked up Prophet Robin D. Bullock. That hair is faker than Trump's 40 million former Twitter followers. I thought so. Clarence, that's a good question. What the fuck? This is a ridiculous question I'm getting ready to ask you. Why do people sit down and listen to guys spew utter bullshit?
My 70 years on this planet has been spent trying to have a pleasant outcome on everything I attempted to do. Where's the pleasure in having hate for people who don't have any type of impact on your life? Well, as the late great prophet Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, observed, and we've cited him a couple of times, it's a big dollar. It's a big dollar. Trying to get people to hate other people. And, you know, maybe that's why, you know, if you can just get people to hate other people, well, the next thing you know, you got, I don't know, a gig on Fox like Tucker Carlson. I found this story fascinating, though, because it's tied in with the crazy, the Wuhan lab crap. And of course, Cucky Tucky is out there spewing notions that, you know, Dr. Fauci, well, you know, he created the virus in his little home basement laboratory. Yeah. And, of course, the FBI planned and executed January the 6th. False flag. I think he's actually jealous of that, Alex Jones. But in this particular instance, Cucky Tucky was having a hissy about a philosophy and bioethics professor by the name of S. Matthew Liao. He's at NYU, and he participated in the World Science Festival in 2016, and he talked about how we could, and this is just the kind of theoretical shit that you talk about, you know, science nerds go, yeah, but what if we built it right? And so Dr. Liao has particularly been interested in biomedical mods to humans, especially as it relates to climate change. And so because he was, I guess, fresh out of fresh material, this past Tuesday, Cucky Tucky went into a long diatribe about something that Dr. Liao said in 2012. And he said genetic engineering and hormone therapy could mean that smaller, less resource-needy children might be born. Okay? As a way of making sure that children survived and were not so reliant on like foods produced by fossil fuels. Because if you get right down to it, I remember one author, Michael Pollan. Oh, great. Power just went out. Clear blue sky. Okay, it's back. I think they're building a new substation up the road. That probably doesn't bode well. But Michael Pollan observed that when you get right down to it, the American diet consists primarily of diesel fuel and number two field grade corn. And so before you can make a big deal out of somebody, you have to before you can destroy them, you have to elevate them. And so he referred to Dr. Liao, whom I had never heard of before, as among the most influential bioethicists in the world. And he would amaze you once you see this tape and then played some stuff from 2016. Okay, I can't be too rough because I just played a parody song from 2007. He said, this talk about human engineering should make you pause and take a deep breath. And this is all just academic speculation, kind of science fiction with a highfalutin degree. Maybe we could develop a pill that would suppress the desire to eat red meat. And then, you know, talking about something that happened, 5 years ago. Cucky Tucky said, it's hard to believe a pill like that would be optional. It would be mandatory pretty soon. Does that sound like a dystopian fantasy? He's deadly serious. Gee, and I was looking forward to the future where you pull up to the floating dim sum shop like in Blade Runner or Fifth Element, and he went on human engineering. Why do we laugh at Alex Jones again? Sincere question. Hee hee. Other way, you can translate that as, I'm jealous and I'll be selling paleo chocolate chicken bone beverage on this program day after tomorrow. And, you know, the funny thing is, anthropologists and geneticists can't help wondering where the human species is going. Hell, I'm neither one of those, and I wonder. How many times have we talked on this program about a few million years from now when that six-foot-tall race of sentient cockroaches rules planet Earth and worships us as gods for wrecking the planet so thoroughly that they became the dominant species, the apex predator? Oh, well. And yet, you know, the idea of smaller children. I had a professor. He was fantastic. He was my first anthropology professor. Years and years and years ago when I rode my dinosaur to Missouri and went to college. And his name was Dr. John Page, and he was dynamic and just an absolute joy. I looked forward to every class because he wasn't teaching mathematics. Like I said, he was an anthropology prof. But in the course of talking about natural selection and the way that human beings can unintentionally influence natural selection, you know, he was talking among other things about how we develop sedentary agriculture probably by accident because hunter-gatherer societies wandered through golden fields of grassy grain. And had water bottle, and they had baskets, and they would shake the grain, and the loose grains would fall off into the basket, and then they'd, you know, grind it and separate the wheat from the chaff or the barley or whatever. And he explained that as a form of unintentional genetic preselection. Unintentionally modifying the world in which one, because what they did is they eventually pre-selected for grains that hung on tightly to the stalk and didn't shake into the basket anymore. And that meant you had to stay there and actually farm the stuff. I don't know if that theory is still respected or acknowledged. But along the way, he said, and it's just like what we're doing now. We have a culture, he said, that insists that women's bodies be skinny and half-starved. And the phrase he used, and it stayed with me all these years, we are unintentionally genetically pre-selecting for females with narrow hips who, when they give birth to babies that look like they've been shot out of small bore cannons. Which, curiously, and that was 1983? 82. That was 1982. And lo and behold, in 2016, I guess Dr. Liao is talking about the same thing. Without the unintentional genetic preselection. But the best part of it was when Carlson said, human engineering. We tried it in Europe 80 years ago and agreed we were never going to try it again. He's referring, of course, to the Nazis, but the curious part, because the goddess of irony owns his fascist Nazi ass, white supremacist ass, is that he said, we tried it and we agreed we were never going to try it again.
thereby identifying himself with the Nazi regime in Germany of 80 years ago. Thank you, Goddess of Irony. Little general stores opened up the road from me in the place that used to host the, that used to house the wonderful little Thai restaurant. And it's a wonderful place. And they got all kinds of kitschy novelty stuff. And they sell rubber chickens. And I'm going to have to, as soon as the program's over, I'm going to have to bebop up there and grab me a rubber chicken, because it's not every day that a white supremacist Nazi unintentionally confesses to being a white supremacist Nazi on air. Yay us! Yay Goddess of Irony. yeah. Jesus. Oh, they're going to... And Emery and Marvelline, meanwhile, are sitting there on their matching bark loungers in the Ballerina Swan Lake Trailer Court and Country Club. Emery, I don't want to take no pill that makes me not want to... That makes me not want a hamburger. Me neither, Marvelline. I like our Saturday trips to have Saturday fancy dinner down to the McDonald's. Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, that's truly a cowbell for Scott in San Diego. The law of heredity. If your parents didn't have children, chances are you won't either. P.S. Dr. Bullocks is a graduate of the Close Cover Before Striking School of Theology, Gun Repair, and Hair Design. Not affiliated with CBS. Yes, yes, Scott, yes. By the way, Cucky Tucky also, according to Jeremy, ran a special last week in which the center theory said African Americans were not as smart as whites and could not help it due to genetics. Yeah, that's old what's-his-fuck Murray. Rearing his ugly head. White wingers just love to talk about that shit, as if it were somehow true. Yeah, Ralph's, the Thai restaurant is gone. But the nice thing is, I can contact her, and she still cooks for people who ask, and you know she'll meet and you deliver and. That's how every now and then I get a nice bowl of tom yum and some pad thai and some Penang curry, and it's not. But I miss her being there. But this little general store is wonderful too. They're doing a great job up there. Thank you for that, Jude. I will have a look when the program is over, so that I can. Yeah, that is sweet. Representative Marie Newman putting her trans pride flag out across from the office of Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cue Ball. Thank you, Jude. Thank you for that reminder. Okay, let's run over to the phones and see who we got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Yeah. Todd.
How you doing?
I'm good. You?
Yeah. Good. Well, you know, you're trying to touch all the hot button issues.
Well, I mean, that's kind of. But I haven't even gotten to the Supreme Court yet, because I got to tell you, Todd, that was actually, if it weren't for prayer meeting Wednesday, that was going to be the lead. And that is, I have a feeling that the Supreme Court of the United States is blowing smoke up our ass, because they're gonna whack us with an axe handle here at the end of the month.
I totally agree. I you throw me off on this tangent.
There were two decent decisions today.
Yeah, but this is the gimme. You know how when you write, you concede the point first before you go in for the kill. Right?
Yeah, sure. It probably, you know.
Doesn't it look like? I'm sorry, but that's how it appears.
I mean, today, I'm so old. Todd, do you remember the kid who got slammed by the Supreme Court in the bong hits for Jesus case?
Yeah. Yeah.
just a smart ass high school teenager. And he got suspended from school because not on school property, not on school time. I think it was back during the reign of error when Dim Leader was coming through, something like that, some dignitary or whatever. And he unfurled a banner that said, "Bong hits for Jesus." And, of course, there was a great deal of pearl clutching and hand-wringing there at the school administration, and they suspended the kid. And the Supreme Court said, "Yup." Well, today they issued an opinion in which a high school cheerleader went off on a little bit of a rant on social media, not on school grounds, not on school time, and she said, "Fuck school, fuck wrestling, fuck football, fuck basketball, fuck softball, fuck cheer, fuck, yeah, and just, you know, fuck.
And fuck everything," was her last statement.
And fuck everything. She covered the bases.
From an adolescent.
Right, because they do that. They challenge authority. That's what they're supposed to do. And so the school suspended her. And she took it all the way to the Supreme Court. And today the Supreme Court said, "Huh, no, what the fuck, really?" And reversed it and said they were in the wrong. And of course, these things take so long to get through. You know, I think she's halfway through college now or something. But that was a surprise. And then also today, they issued a ruling that said the cops cannot enter a home without a warrant, even if they are pursuing someone for a minor crime. Now, what minor crime means, I haven't delved into the opinion yet. But, you know, you can't bust down the door because somebody who just burgled a biscuit from the Rippy Mart happened to run in the house. Supreme Court said, "No, no." And both of those are totally reasonable decisions. And some of the others have been held out as reasonable decisions. And I swear it just smells all like horse trading to me, Todd.
It's the setup. They are.
I'm so glad I'm not alone in this.
This group of people, we already know, because honestly, and you have heart on it. I don't usually like to use that. The decision that Gorsuch made where the employee had to sit in a freezing vehicle.
And die.
Like, guard the property. Right. I mean, that was, I just could not, I didn't believe it until I read it. I'm like, no, he couldn't have done that.
Well, he did.
Yes, he did. So if he'll do that, see, so, right, you're asking the right questions, because if they're giving us that, then what are they going to, like, come with? What's next?
Oh, that right to choose, but that right to choose about to go bye-bye.
Listen, and look in the context of what's going on. We are about to lose. Voting won't even matter anymore. If we can't knock this thing down, if the state houses take control and it doesn't, and they can just overturn an election like they've been trying to do since the last cycle, you know, all this other stuff is esoteric talk. You know, it's good fodder for talk radio because it won't matter at that point. But you see, right, I'm totally with you. And I think we had talked about, like, do they sit around? And, I'm starting to believe they do. You brought it up. This is your idea.
Yeah, it's an issue auction.
They sit, because let's think about it. Now, this is the elite team, right? They are the elite team. There's nobody watching them. They can do what the hell they want. That's exactly how they do business. So they get together for a couple of lunches and they say, okay, well, we feel strongly about this issue. You know, and they bargain like Congress bargains. And then, okay, well, who's going to write the opinion for that? Okay, yeah, I hate that, but nah, that's the way it is. We're still working. We're good. My kids are going to school, whatever. I'm sorry, but that's where we are.
Yeah, it's really shitty, isn't it?
You did it. It's your fault. You picked it out. Now we cannot unsee what we've seen. This was your idea. Because you know, in your brilliance, you picked it apart. You said, "Wait a minute, this is what they're doing." Now we have to think. you know, from the other side.
It's a big, it's a big game of judicial canasta or bridge or something.
It's, I mean, they have drinks. Come on. That's what they do. They sit around, they have drinks, and they discuss things like you do, you know, in college when you're in the dorms and, you know, you come back with all these ideas and you're discussing it with people you don't agree with.
Who would win, Batman or Superman?
But you, I think you were on point with that. Do you remember when you brought that up? This was a while ago.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was talking about it a week or so ago.
Oh, I mean, but you brought this up, Andy, last year. And, yeah, it's been a while. I think it was when Gorsuch was put on. He's been on there for, you know, a while now. Yeah, I think it's been a while since you brought that up. And I've been thinking about that because it just doesn't smell right. You know, they're making these easy kind of, okay, these are good decisions because we're about to get slammed, like you said. I would be surprised if we're not. Now, of course, Brett Kavanaugh is going to speak up on behalf of sports, you know, college sports, you know, come on, beer, football, come on. You know, he's going to do that.
Well, I mean, that was the right, I give credit where it's due, that was the right decision, and he, you know, he lambasted the NCAA.
But he was right.
He did everything but call the NCAA a plantation.
Did you know any athletes when you were in school?
Hell yes.
And I mean, they were poor. Some of them were so damn, it was pathetic. They could not, literally, they didn't have any money to go out and get fast food.
We were friends with an All-American lineman. And he happily came to the house and bounced our parties for us. Because it was all the beer he could drink, and we'd get him a roll of Copenhagen.
Well, that was good for him and good for you guys. Nice symbiotic relationship.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So we'll have, you know, I'm so glad you brought that up about all these things, you know, and how hateful these folks are. I just don't. All that wasted energy on shit that they don't need anything to do with. You know.
And you know, every now and then I'll get an email about, you know, why do you spend so much time on these religious freaks? Because they have bigger microphones and megaphones, and they are setting the goddamned agenda. The right wing sets the agenda in this country.
Now you're segueing into what really got me right. What really got me peaked here. You see, a few minutes ago, what you were homing in on. You see, when you hear that stuff, it just, oh, Mika messed up so good. She could not read.
God, yes.
Did you see? I was so fucking, I mean, Joe was like, look, bitch, I'm paying you a lot of money. Excuse me. Look, you got to get this shit right. I've been covering your ass for fucking years.
What was the word? It started with an M.
Multilateralism. Something. Multilateral.
Yes, multilateral. That way. Thank you. Because I'm not that awake at that point. I'm sitting there. Because they put it on screen so we can all read it with her.
Right?
I mean, I do that with some pharmaceutical words, okay? And God knows Icelandic words. You remember that truly terrifying volcano in Iceland a few years back? I mean, the volcano was interesting. The word was fucking the word was death to anybody who reads shit on air for a living, to the point that it got to where, well, you know, and nobody would try to say the name of the thing. It was that volcano in Iceland.
It was the talk around, right? Like, you talk around the word.
Yeah.
Well, you know that it was near Reykjavik. Because you could barely get
it. It was near Reykjavik. The whole goddamn island is near Reykjavik.
Which is the most populous center in Iceland, therefore this was a serious event. See? Then you went, Mika, take a lesson, woman. If you can't fucking, don't just skip it. Because otherwise you look like a dumbass. So anyway.
I just want to know what it's like when the camera turns off and the mics go dark.
So you, I was like, wait a minute, this is not a difficult. I don't know what multi looks like. Usually it has a height, whatever. Multi's multi. Come on, move forward. I mean, this is your fucking job. This is your goddamn job.
You had one job. Well, what? Wait. What does Galaxy Quest? Agnes, are you here? What is it? What's her, I can't remember what her rank is, but Gwen's and she's played not by Kathleen Turner, but by Sigourney Weaver.
Mm-hmm.
And along the way, she comments that her only lines in the entire series were to repeat the computer. And at one point, she says, "I have one job, and I am going to do it."
Oh, you are good at that. Look how you weave that into the movie banter.
And there it is, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department. How lava eggs have formed around active volcano near Reykjavik.
That's the workaround. Like,
if it was in Hawaii, they'd just say Mauna Loa.
Wait, say it again.
Mauna Loa.
Oh, it was in Hawaii, right.
Yeah.
Look, that Icelandic, that, you know, come on, that's some rugged shit. You know, but see, this is where interns come in. Circle, but like, if you see a word that looks weird, let me know ahead of time. Because somebody else, he didn't write that.
No, that's 2021. I mean, that's not this volcano. This was, this was 6-7 years ago? And it started with a K, and it had 19 syllables or something like that.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
And there were no vowels to break it up.
I know exactly what, because I have friends that live in Hawaii. My
No, Iceland.
Yeah. Oh, in Iceland. Well, we're back to that. So listen. Right.
Well, we're back to that. I'm sorry, Todd.
No,
I need.
No, but it's just like, you know. I mean, okay. I'm starting to wonder, but she stumbled. I'm sorry. I've given her afforded her every opportunity. I'm sorry, and her attribution points with me have been, frankly, have been used up. And so, you know, her husband was like, he was, man, look, if he said that on air, like you said, what's on the mic? What happens? Because he was pissed.
Ayafala Yokel, that was the volcano.
Well, you know, words are funny. Words are funny.
But see, I did it. I did it. Are you follow Yokel?
You get it.
Because I used to be a professional newscaster.
Well, you get right, and you know, words is to us. Words is. I mean, it's serious. It's like it's a.
They kind of mean things.
We're not being mean to people, but this is why we have fucking word. It's a label. This is.
That's why the Associated Press used to send out every morning, and you would rip it off and tape it in the broadcast booth. The pronouncer of the day.
Oh, that's beautiful. The word that they knew everybody was going to fuck up on, huh?
Oh, there'd be 15 or 20 of them.
Well, good. That's right. That's what I'm talking about. You see, right. That's what I thought.
The volcano near Reykjavik, Ayafala Yokel.
See, I have to edit. It's not about me. Right. So, you know, we have to be cognizant of these things, man, because otherwise, you know, buffoonery ensues. And, you know, it's not.
Man, you brought the A game tonight.
I'm pissed, man. I'm pissed. I was like, this woman is making. I use the B word, but it's just, you know, street slang. You don't really mean that.
I understand.
Damn. Come on.
You got one job.
And what you talking about, Phyllis?
Phyllis?
You know what you talking about, Willis? I'm talking to you. What you talking about, Phyllis?
Yeah.
Anyway. Hey. But I'm sorry. But so back to right. I mean, it's just look.
We'll be all right.
I see it's already hot out here. I'm sweating again. And this is ridiculous, man. And you know, ridiculous is, you know, the level beyond ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Yeah, it's just before you get to redonkulous. It's a continuum.
It's a continuum. And that's on the bad side of that continuum. You about to get sucked into that.
Yes, you're about to get bad.
So, right. Oh, so yeah, once I got over that, and then, you know, I'm like, all right, put somebody else on, because, you know, she's just stumbling and bumbling. I don't know what, you know, she's been drinking too much pig wine or something. So.
Oh, speaking of which, I saw something truly horrible today.
What?
Okay, wine in a box is a thing. But this was a pint of wine in a box, but it was a 13% alcohol cocktail. Wait for it. And you know, this is a tourist area. So it means that mostly white tourists are going to be purchasing this. Chocolate wine cocktail.
Oh, please. Don't. Are you trying to make me vomit this early? I haven't eaten yet.
Oh. I saw it. Because, you know, I'm just, I mean, it's strictly an academic interest at this point. Because I'm trying to shed weight.
Right, chocolate wine. I mean,
I want to put up like a, you know, one of those little secret micro cams. And I just want to see the Karen who buys that.
Who is purchasing this product? They need to, people have free choice. You know. I'm not as violent as I sound most times.
Most times. It's all the it's all in the caveat. Multilateralism, Todd.
I was like, wait a minute. That's not a hard... Wait. All right, I know it's early, but this is what you fucking do.
You. I mean, that ain't no eye follicle.
You know, wait a minute. Let me introduce her to some fucking terms from neuroscience. Man, she'd be like, blah, 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 polyneuron. She, blah, what? Well, I can't do that. Boom. And then her head explodes. And then Joe's like, well, Mika, it looks like your head is a little light today. Are you lightheaded? Oh, wait, you're no-headed. Uh-huh. Anyway, so that's not funny.
And then they chuckled about it.
Oh, they went around and said, oh, my eyes. It was my eyes. I'm over 50. I'm over 55 or whatever. And they're like, yeah, you just fucked up, woman. Everybody else can do that. Now, see, if you play code switch, what if that was a Negro?
Oh, no.
A young Negro.
No, no. Mm-mm.
Cause you see,
back to the hood with you.
Right, back to the right. Man, we gave you a chance. Yeah. So right. So, and this nonsense with Tucker Carlson, man. I'm sorry, he has too much gravitas.
Dude is down to being jealous of Alex Jones. I think Cucky Tucky sits around. Can't we do the jellyfish human hybrids from the jellyfish monkey hybrids from the wet markets of Old Kowloon story tonight? Please.
Well, you know, you intrigued me with this talk of science. And evolution and anthropology, because other people are thinking about this, because this is a trend now. This is a bona fide trend. Remember we joked about the Scopes monkey trial people?
Yes.
This is who we get. They don't believe in science. They only believe in science when it's convenient, and otherwise they can't be bothered, because it's just too hard and too many big words, and, you know, they... Maybe or maybe not. Jesus agrees with it. You know, whatever kind of weird stuff flows through their brain. I don't. Why can't they like go to church like most people, normal people in the Northeast? You go to church, you believe in that, and you when you go to work, you're a scientist. It's not that fucking hard.
No, it's. I know.
Because if you can't shift gears like that, you know, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I don't know. It's not good. It's not good. And you see, when you talk about these religions and supremacy theories and these local court decisions, Well, federal court. You know, these folks are getting slaps on the wrist for an insurrection. Community service. That is, I don't understand. The case is there. It's treason. It's sedition. It's sedition. You took part in a seditious act. That's what it was. Obviously, you know, I'm not
busted.
Does that seem logical?
Yes. I mean, play stupid games, win stupid prizes, right?
Yeah, that's it. This is exactly why, I do not believe in the death penalty, but I'm sorry there were people's friends, sons, daughters, whatever, your relatives out there. But you see, either we have a country and a capital or we do not.
Right, I'm sorry. Right, I'm sorry your son.
People at Kent State, they got to go.
Yeah, I'm sorry your son, daughter, husband, uncle, aunt, cousin, neighbor got busted. But during the 4 years let's cut it back to during the 2 months after the election that they were screaming stolen election, did you ever look at him and say, you know, you really need to stop drinking the chocolate wine in a box and sober up for a little bit? Ever? Once?
You know.
Because they're so pig, they're often so pig-eyed, mean, and violent, you know, they'll start swinging if you tell them, you know, that's not true. That didn't happen. And God, you must be a member of the Illuminati. The aluminum naughty. Aluminum Nazis!
Okay, I have a question. When was the first time that you became aware of Alex Jones?
Goes back a ways. It goes back to before Air America fucked over Malloy.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was coming back from like a Mountaineer football game late at night or something. And I was catching the Skywave or some such on AM radio, because late night AM radio is life,
isn't it? When you're driving at night, man, that's the elixir.
And I think that's the first time, you know, I heard that voice, and I immediately perked up, and I wasn't sleepy anymore, and it was like, shit, this dude's crazy. I mean, I need to bounce over to the Art Bell and George Norrie just to sober up a little bit.
Ooh. Oh shit. Okay.
So, you know, what would that be? 2005?
Wow. Okay.
Sorry about the funny noises. It just goes with the territory.
Well, look. I'm about to fart on the phone, so don't worry about it. So, listen, and I'm not.
Yeah, don't do that, because if you put the phone back up there, it'll give you pink eye.
I'll talk about pink eye. You know, they even wonder where I spray everything down. I don't, pre-pandemic, post-pandemic, I said, maybe you never worked in an office before. Because the keyboard, man, look, you catch a bad case of pink eye, it is hard to get rid of. You can't even open your fucking eyes in the morning. Am I wrong?
No, it's gross.
It's gross. So I avoid that, man. I got the nice solution. I got the
same. And I'm always fascinated, you know, pre-pandemic, standing there washing my hands at the sink in the public restroom and watching the people who just leave the stall or leave the urinal and just sashay on out into the world. A little bit later, you know, you recognize one of them. You're in the office. Hey, you want a home-baked cookie? I don't think so.
Oh, true story. Oh, man, that's one of those whole belt of bells. You know, the leather belt with all the bells on.
Yeah. That's Full Metal Jingle.
Oh, shit! You Kubrick-ass motherfucker, you! Oh, shit.
You know, but I do love these little moments of pushback. Because, you know, we have our fun, but my God, there are some moments. The new defense secretary, retired General Lloyd Austin, who just happens to be a black man, took Matt Gaetz, it just Gaetz better, out behind the woodshed today, in public, with the cameras rolling. And it was a beautiful moment. I think it's a moment many of us have waited for. Because Matt Gaetz was going on about majority-minority military units. And just put your pointy hat on, Matt, and get over it. But I think you'll enjoy this, Todd. I really, really do. Let's see.
In my previous discussions with service members and particularly officers, I would hear about complaints over parts not arriving on time, long deployments, and in my more recent discussions with those officers, the number one issue that they raised to me with concern, often unable to speak publicly for fear of the type of retribution that Lieutenant Colonel Lohmeyer faced, they say that your stand down regarding extremism did not help our military, it hurt the military. And I want to share with you that perspective, that it caused service members to otherize one another, it impaired group cohesion. And interesting to me is that I've heard those sentiments.
Yeah, hold on a minute. His stand down hurt unit cohesion. Now there was a stand down to do a little explainer about, you know, it's really not a good thing. Y'all all swore oaths and shit, and you are subject to the Uniform Code of Military Justice. And apparently, Matt Gaetz is getting secret messages through the fillings in his teeth or something.
Most frequently from units that are majority-minority, that this was not particularly helpful. So I wanted to give you the opportunity to maybe share with us more specificity regarding the definitions that seemed to be a challenge when Ms. Hartzler was asking questions. How should the Department of Defense think about critical race theory?
Could I make a comment, Secretary? I'm sorry.
Well, I'm very limited.
You know this, isn't it? Could I make a comment? Yeah. Critical race theory. Brooga, 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 brooga. Yeah.
I don't have my time, General Mills.
Well, I just want to make a comment.
I've asked the question to Secretary Austin.
I don't know what the issue of critical race theory is and what the relevance here with the department. We do not teach critical race theory. We don't embrace critical race theory. And I think that's a spurious conversation. And so we are focused on extremist behaviors and not ideology, not people's thoughts, not people's political orientation. Behaviors is what we're focused on. And one final point, and thanks for your anecdotal input, but I would say that I have gotten 10 times that amount of input, 50 times that amount of input on the other side that has said, hey, we're glad to have had the ability to have a conversation with ourselves and with our leadership. And that's what we need to make sure.
And again, reclaiming my time, Mr. Secretary, it may be that you're receiving that input in the ratios you describe because it was your directive. It may be that people are concerned about criticizing your decision because Lieutenant Colonel.
It may be that monkeys are about to fly out Matt Gaetz's butt, but that's speculative.
Lohmeyer was not relieved of his command for his actions. He was not relieved of his command because of poor performance regarding his duties. He was relieved of his command precisely because of his thoughts and because of his critique of critical race theory. It is particularly helpful that you have said that the Department of Defense does not embrace critical race theory and that you think the discussion is not appropriate. I would suggest that it is the ideology that is not appropriate, and it is particularly concerning to me that you have hired a critical race theorist to give you advice on personnel matters, and that person is Bishop Garrison. And I would particularly observe that on July 27, 2019, Bishop Garrison tweeted regarding former President Trump, he's dragging a lot of bad actors out into the sunlight, normalizing their actions. And here's the relevant part. If you support the president, you support that. There is no room for nuance in this. There is no more, but I'm not like that talk. And then he replies to his own tweet with what seems to be a very ethno-nationalist hashtag, hashtag Black44. Could you enlighten us as to what advice Mr. Garrison has given you, and are you concerned that while you testify publicly to our committee that the department doesn't embrace critical race theory, you have hired someone who is precisely a critical race theorist?
What the fuck is a critical race theorist? I'm anxious for this.
This is the first I've ever heard Mr. Garrison be described as a critical race theorist. So this is new.
Did you review his tweets before you hired him, personally? Did you review his tweets before you hired him?
I did not personally review his tweets.
I would just ask that maybe that be helpful. Is there anything you can share in just these final seconds regarding any advice he's given you?
Let me just share one other thing that you brought up, Congressman, about the input that comes to me. You know, I trust my leadership from top to bottom that they will give me fair and balanced and unvarnished input. And for you to say that people are telling me what I want to hear, I get it. But I'm smart enough to know
that does happen.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe they're telling you what you want to hear.
Well, I don't know.
Ouch.
He's right.
Yeah, he is. It's not quite fuck you, Matt Gaetz, but it's about as close as you can get in a congressional hearing.
Well, that's exactly why Mr. Gaetz does not need to be where he is.
No, he needs to be hurry up and indicted. I mean, how long, just ask, you know, because we're going to code switch again. How long would it take to indict a black man? How long would it take to indict a black man who was a member of Congress, who was stone cold busted sending money to an underage sex worker on Venmo and leaving it open in his public comments? How long would it take for the grand jury to get that indictment out?
Oh, 23 minutes.
I figured it was going to be a period of time so short that science cannot presently measure it.
Oh, well, you're on that nanoscale.
Yeah, there we go.
Well, right. Well, look at that. Okay, since you brought it up, look how we got rid of Al Franken, with, as they say here, with the quick.
Yeah, on the double quick?
Over some silly photographs. And that was inappropriate, I agree. But, you know, in context, it, what we see now, that was nothing. That was, you know, and you know, if he drinks too much, okay, all of them drink too much. We all drink too much sometimes, many of us. So what? You know, but that is bullshit. We have to put up, you know, they treat Democrats like Negroes, where you have to be as good or better. You just can't be average, you know. And that's unfortunate. And this Gaetz shit, this is the whole crux, right? This is not right, but this is what I'm concerned about. When we hear these rulings, not from the Supreme Court, but these lower federal court rulings, these slaps on the wrist. Why? In other words, they're condoning that insurrection, which is exactly the wrong message to send. And as you stated, you know, that was just a warm-up exercise, because these people are gunned up. They keep buying more guns, and they're like, we have a gun problem. I don't know what we can do about it. I'm like, well, let's see. What's the common denominator here? What could it possibly be? Wait a minute. It couldn't be guns, could it?
Maybe. You know, possibly.
Maybe. What?
A little bit.
You know, a little bit. I mean, it's not easy. I understand that the Southern culture is dominant, and people don't like to realize that. But you've done a good job to bring it to fore. You know, and see, okay, let's talk about projection. These people, this GOP and these weirdos, they have worn out projection until, like your bag of fucks is empty. The projection goddess is just going to be worn the fuck out. I mean, they're almost there. I swear I got a memo. If you just examine them from top to bottom, everything they accuse of other people doing, that's exactly what they're doing. A power grab. What? Power grab by the Democrats? What the hell are you talking about? We're trying to play nice still. And you have the nuclear bomb. Your state houses are poised to just, you know, be in place to say, I don't like that. You know, it didn't work out right. We don't trust that election. Nah, we're not going to do that. You know, so we're right back to where we were at a very bloody time where people's ideals, I think, they've infiltrated the government. And you know, they have figured out the ways, you know, legally. There's nothing really, you know, we could do about it.
Well, apparently it was beat the shit out of Matt Gaetz Day in the House today. Because you may have heard the clip earlier where the guy off screen says, "Could I offer up something on that for a second?"
Wait a minute, is this after talking to the Secretary of?
No, this is apparently. I think this was before. Okay. And you know, apparently the line of questioning was, let's scare the white people some more. And so this is General Milley. Remember, General Milley is the guy who walked with Trump to go over to the church and along the way, you know, tear gas some American citizens peacefully protesting.
Yes.
But apparently, but today, General Milley's bag of fucks was also empty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, gentlemen, for joining us today. I know my time is very precious, but I would like to yield some of my time to General Milley because I know that he had some comments that he wanted to make when Representative Gaetz was talking, as well as Mr. Waltz, about a similar subject of the stand down and race theory. Would you like a minute or so to comment on that? Do you remember what your line of questioning or thought was there?
Sure. First of all, on the issue of critical race theory, et cetera, I'll obviously have to get much smarter on whatever the theory is. But I do think it's important, actually, for those of us in uniform to be open-minded and be widely read. And the United States Military Academy is a university, and it is important that we train and we understand. And I want to understand white rage, and I'm white, and I want to understand it. So what is it that caused thousands of people to assault this building and try to overturn the Constitution of the United States of America? What caused that? I want to find that out. I want to maintain an open mind here, and I do want to analyze it. It's important that we understand that because our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Guardians, they come from the American people. So it is important that the leaders, now and in the future, do understand it. I've read Mao Zedong. I've read Karl Marx. I've read Lenin. That doesn't make me a communist. So what is wrong with understanding, having some situational understanding about the country for which we are here to defend? And I personally find it offensive that we are accusing the United States military, our general officers, our commissioned, non-commissioned officers, of being, quote, woke or something else because we're studying some theories that are out there. That was started at Harvard Law School years ago, and it proposed that there were laws in the United States, antebellum laws prior to the Civil War, that led to a power differential with African Americans that were three-quarters of a human being when this country was formed. And then we had a Civil War and Emancipation Proclamation to change it, and we brought it up to the Civil Rights Act in 1964. It took another 100 years to change that. So look it, I do want to know, and I respect your service, and you and I are both Green Berets, but I want to know, and it matters to our military and the discipline and cohesion of this military, and I thank you for the opportunity to make a comment on that.
Thank you.
He can't have been talking to Matt. There is no way Matt Gaetz is a goddamn Green Beret. It has to be somebody else. Just no.
Well, you know what? What you just played, Robin, that was...
gold. That was a PSA. That was Millie?
Yeah, that was Millie.
Now, that's as frank and honest as you're going to get from a conservative.
Yeah, and the best part of it is Matt Gaetz, who has never heard anything more than, you know, maybe a ping pong ball smacked in anger. Matt Gaetz is sitting there shaking his head no at him.
That fucker.
Boy, I would love to. I wish he was in uniform because, you know, maybe General Milley would go all George Patton on him and go up and slap the shit out of him.
Right. Yes. Like you, oh, Jesus. Something bad's going to happen to him. It's too much. You know what? Maybe it's so big they can't start yet because it's just too much. Because when you have somebody who can make a fake real ID, which is what you get on flights, you know, that's significant. You know, that's a network.
Yeah,
my God.
By the same token, there's other shit going on that happened today outside of the Capitol that makes me pause and wonder just exactly what's going on here. Two people were sentenced today for their roles in the insurrection. And that is Robert Maurice Reeder of Maryland. Well, not sentenced, but he entered a plea agreement. And Anna Morgan Lloyd, she was the first person sentenced today. Now, Reeder just entered a plea agreement. She actually was sentenced. Now, she participated in the assault on constitutional governance in the United States of America on the 6th day of January, 2021. And for her participation in that act of arguable treason, making war upon the United States of America, she was sentenced to 40 hours of community service, 3 years of probation, and $500 restitution.
500.
Yeah. No jail whatsoever. Meanwhile, the Department of Justice, and I'm getting more and more kind of queasy about Merrick Garland's Justice Department. The Justice Department executed a plea agreement in regard to Mr. Reeder of Maryland that said, in consideration of your client's guilty plea to the above offense, your client will not be further prosecuted, this is to the lawyer for him, will not be further prosecuted criminally by this office for the conduct set forth in the attached statement of offense. The government will request that the court dismiss the remaining counts of the information in this case at the time of sentencing. Your client agrees and acknowledges that the charges to be dismissed at the time of sentencing were based in fact. Okay, so here's what the government's giving up. Entering and remaining in a restricted building, disorderly and disruptive conduct in a restricted building, violent entry and disorderly conduct in a Capitol building. All of which are, I think, felonies. Okay? Now, what's he pleading to? He's going to plead to misdemeanor parading, demonstrating, or picketing in a Capitol building. And he'll pay $500 restitution. That's two. You know, are they the QAnon shaman? Are they Big O? Well, no, Big O is sitting back in Arkansas pleading with the court to let him travel 200 miles to go to car shows and throwing big old birthday parties at his house that the cops had to be called for. And he still gets to stay home and out of the stir. I mean, Jesus.
Well, Robin, the lost cause is not lost. It is the dominant, pervasive thought pattern, and it's being codified, obviously, in front of our eyes. And to me, that's quite clear. Because, you know, and I'm what I'm about to say, I talked with a professional who has all the correct letters behind their name yesterday, someone I've worked with before. you know, I just got, you know, low level and a bunch of other stuff. But anyway, that film of the insurrection, you see, will in fact, I know this for a fact, it will in fact be used in sociology and other courses, social work, as what constitutes white privilege. Because you see, black people, we're not afforded the privilege to fight with police. Fight with police. What kind of nonsense is that? What kind of Negro can fight with a policeman in 2000, in 2020?
Right, and live to tell the story.
And live to tell the story. So that's not, and then they go to court, and it's like disorderly conduct? Are you kidding me? On federal grounds? That's a, anything on federal grounds is a felony. Mostly.
Well, I mean, just by way of comparison, we went up for the first time they ever had a hearing in the Senate about mountaintop removal. It was over something called the Appalachia Restoration Act. Mm-hmm. And we had to show up early and stand in line for a long time because the coal industry was sending up literally busloads of miners that they were given a day's pay to, and, you know, right, because they wanted to pack the room. So we had to get there even earlier. And it was me, and it was Agnes, and it was our kids, because we wanted them to see history being made.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a Capitol Police officer walking up and down the line, basically barking at us like we were green recruits at Paris Island. You will not sit down. You will not talk in a loud tone of voice. If you do sit down, if you do speak in a loud tone of voice, you will be arrested and charged with parading and demonstrating in the Capitol. I remember those words specifically. That's why when I read this story, I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me.
Wow.
So, so if one of us, you know, standing there for hours on end, if one of us, you know, passed out and slid down to the floor against the response would have been to arrest our ass and carry us out and charge us with the same misdemeanor that this guy's walking away with. The difference being that we didn't attack the capital of the United States and try to overturn the government of the United States. We were just a bunch of people who were getting bombed by the fucking coal industry and objected to it.
That's sad. And you know, and that what you just said reminds me of two things. And I don't know if someone's trying to call you, but, you know, two things. Number one, at TCM, they had, you know, Holland County, USA.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So I rewatched that again. And, you know, I don't know. It's been a couple. I watch every few years, but, you know, it never hurts. And Reese, you see, now I can remember his name. Mrs. Reese, she wrote that song, "What side are you on? What side are you on?" Now that'll
make the little hair stand up on the back of your neck.
Man, that's some soulful shit. You understand? Everyone should. That's a piece of Americana. That movie. I've seen it countless times. But you know, the more you learn, you see things differently. So it was time for me to rewatch it. And the other, you know, the other thing you're talking about, I think that we need to be maybe open to the fact that there's way more than one third of this country that's okay with just doing all this shit over, and they want an insurrection because they feel like they're not in control anymore. And,
well, you know, somebody that I've known for a very, very long time, who's very dear to me, said to me earlier today, "I know your side," and he's, you know, over there. He said, "I know your side thinks everything's just hunky-dory." I said, "Far from it." He said, "But my side thinks we're in a civil war." And I said, "And that's where it falls apart, because you're not thinking, you're believing. You're believing things you want to believe." But it didn't, you know, it didn't devolve into anything nasty. But they do.
That's exactly where they are.
And they're just waiting for zombie Bobby Lee to come up out of the dirt and say, "Come on, boys."
See, remember, I talked to a lot of these people. A lot of them had money. They had more money.
Shit, yes, they got money. They got they had money to get to D.C. and attack the capital of the United States.
Right. Now, they come and, you know, they come and talk to me because I'm there. They have to. And we talk because I'm approachable. And you're, in their mind, you see, we're at 9 of 10 being the country totally lost in their mind. They're doing this because they have to save the country.
Right, because, you know, the critical race theory, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, Illuminati, Rosicrucians are going to come and enslave all the white people.
See, they're not trying to get along at all.
They're going
to
make emery and marbling chop cotton.
Look, I mean, we don't understand that they are past serious. They're like, look, I'm putting my life on the line for this country. I'm a patriot. And they, when they say that, they mean it.
I will die for Fox News.
That's it. And I'm not being hyperbolic. I'm not laughing. I'm telling
you. No, I'm doing stupid voices, and I probably shouldn't.
No, you should, because that's what they sound like. And then, see, that's on the low end, right? The base end, you know. And then you had the folks who had the money that are, you know, they're making plans. They're moving places where they can be an enclave of, a voting bloc, because they understand how the system works. And so they've got the state houses now, which we missed out on that. We didn't understand that. You know,
we might want to pay attention to that and work on that a little bit.
That it's a big yes.
But you know, if we don't get some sort of voter protection through, we're not going to work on shit. Because as you referenced early on, you know, some maggot legislature will just say we didn't like the outcome.
If that's hard
it's a hell of a thing to say, and it's, you know, that ain't Alex Jones shit, okay?
That's my point. See, that's my point. This is where we are.
This is real. It's not that they said the quiet part out loud. They are putting it in writing, Todd.
Well, I'm prepared.
And so, you know, you're going to take back the state. You're going to take the state house in Texas like hell you are.
I mean, come on. When was the last time you heard of a plot to kidnap a governor?
Well, yeah.
So I
and know. And that's the one. And that's, again, you know about that one. These message board. How many people out there do you think these white wing insurrectionists, traitors? How many of them do you think are babbling back and forth? How many of them? How long is their list of people who have to go? How pissed are they at a Stacey Abrams?
Oh, look, you see. That's the other
At Reverend Warnock. I mean, my God, that clip of Reverend Warnock in the debate yesterday. What did he say? It is the height of irony that we are using minority rights in the Senate.
Did you hear what Mitch McConnell said?
But that we are using minority rights in the Senate
right.
to suppress minority rights in the country.
That's right.
Bang. End of sentence. Finish. Done. But Mitch McConnell, no, go ahead.
He was responding to what Mitch McConnell said.
Yeah.
He was talking about suppression and being you know basically treated like a Negro. You know, we're a minority, and it, you know, this and we have to correct people when they start talking about, well, the filibuster goes back to the founding fathers. It does not. It does not. It goes back to when the planter class figured out that they had to run everything to keep this shit moving the way they want. And the South has been in charge ever since. And like I was talking about projection, remember, they have always said they're being put upon while they're in power. Oh, you know, we're being put upon, but you have your foot on my neck. But we're being put upon. We have to protect ourselves. You know, how are we supposed to make our money?
Yeah, it's prayer-meeting Wednesday. It's just like all these good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-to-mentalist, homosexual Christians swearing that they're being persecuted when they are the dominant majority religious force in this country.
That's it. Right.
unless you're doing it their way, they're being persecuted. Because everybody's not doing what they want everybody to do because that's their belief system. They forgot this is America. And I'm sorry, but there were no Bible-thumping Baptists like in the Founding Fathers. That's nonsense.
It, right.
Maybe one. But at the most, even in none, they wanted to start something new. Matter of fact, they were trying to be at one with nature. A lot of them, you know. So these fuck. That's what I'm saying with them, with ignorant people with guns and moonshine, and meth. So, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Anyway, look. I gotta stop doing that. I hate that. I don't like the way it sounds. Anyway, I just maybe somebody else will call in and
Well, I got Dave in Taliban, Deanna waiting. We will further explore these things, Todd. This has been you always bring your A game, but man, you brought it A+ this evening.
Well, I appreciate it, man. You bring it every night, and we appreciate your hard work.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, Robin.
I appreciate it a bunch. I really, really do.
Take care.
You too. Bye now. Man, Todd was on tonight. And I do. By the way, we're rapidly reaching the end of the program. And if we don't knock it down a little bit, we're going to be looking at 11:73:34 tomorrow, Thursday. And that way, miracles are wonderful, but they are very stressful too. If we could finish off Monday, it'd be fantastic. As Flavio says, all projection, all the time. Republicans always accuse others of what you're going to do or are already doing. Machiavelli would be proud. Yeah, but they couldn't spell Machiavelli on their best day, Flavio, but I get your point. Let's go over and let's check in with Dave. Hey, Dave, how are you? How are the boys down at the Emporium?
Well, the boys down at the Emporium are good. We're packing the Roman 316 crosses for shipment. This is a busy time. I'm going to give a bonus to the guys that came up with this design. It's wonderful. And to that end, I have a story that shows the goddess of iron. It gives me little glimpses to stoke humor. Yesterday, I was walking around Monument Circle while I was running my errands. And it's a beautiful part of Indianapolis. It's close to the center of town, and it's just, it's so historic. Harriet Beecher Stowe's husband was a pastor in a church on the circle prior to the Civil War. But to that end, I was walking around, and I tend to walk looking down, looking at what's in front of me. And I see this hand with a rather well-worn black book. And I slow down to go around the guy, and he says, "Can I ask you something?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Can I pray over you?" And I stood up to my full height. I turned around, and I said, "With all due respect, sir, no, you may not. I am an atheist." And you would have thought I'd hit him with a thunderbolt. I mean, you want to talk about social distancing? I was far enough.
Oh, wait. Sorry, that was good. That's just good. Do continue. You want to talk about social distancing? Was he getting away? Was he getting away in a double quick?
Well, he sort of looked at me, and I'm like, I said, "But please do have a good day, good and safe day, you know." And he's like, and you could see he was having a Daffy Duck moment. You know, when Daffy gets confused, he starts talking to himself.
Well, I have to.
Yeah. And God knows I cried. And maybe he'll learn to love Jesus one day. You know, that kind of thing.
And, Lord, why?
And as I'm walking, away, I'm thinking, you know, if I'd really wanted a comedic moment, I could have pulled out the atheist exorcist and or started letting him pray and then started doing the interpretation of his prayer. Dear fake baby Jesus, protect me from your followers and that kind of thing. But I thought, no, be respectful, you know. That way he can't go to the or
not
even
being,
he
yes,
might
not being a bitch. Have. Not being a bitch is what we have instead of God, yes.
Yes. Well, the thing is, the confusion I could see on his face was so precious. I wish I'd taken a picture, you know, because I wished him a pleasant and safe day, thereby putting pan to.
Wait, why didn't you? Wait, why ain't you saying hail Satan?
Yeah. Well, maybe because I don't believe in Satan either, you know. But Robin, it was so wonderful. It was so liberating because these guys, I don't know if it's because my crutches seem to attract these guys like dousing rods and water, but, you know.
It's two A games in a row tonight, like dousing rods and water.
I guess if I go walking around on my crutches, it just sort of attracts fundamentalists. You know,
it brings out the healing urge, Dave. It brings out the healing urge.
Oh yes. Well,
see, that's
know,
the thing. If some individual similarly situated to you had said yes, the next thing you know, dude would have been grabbing the crutches and your ass is on the ground. You're healed. Get up.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I've had that happen to me before.
Why am I not surprised?
You know, I could have gone with the, you know, about the biblical warning about praying in public. No, I'm not going to go to your rooms so we can pray together. You know, no. No, I know it's Pride Month, but no.
Oh, yeah. That's the hat trick. I know it's Pride Month. You were on hold for a little bit, and you had plenty of time to pull a lot together, Dave.
Well, I try to bring my A game at all times, Robin. You know that.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, you do, but my God.
Remember, it's a $2 minimum, folks, so please send them in to Robin because she needs the help, you know.
Yeah, it's getting a little tense.
You know, Todd and I could do a benefit for the horn, you know. He could do the food porn and his commentary, which is brilliant. And I could follow up with, you know, my usual repartee.
Well, I have to tell you, I love the way the zeitgeist of the horn community works because, you know, internet latency is a thing. And I gave you the cowbell for dousing rods to water. And about the length of time that it took for this to get all the way across the country to Sunny San Rafael, Tom writes in and says, cowbell for Dave, dowsing rods to water. And so that's a cowbell for Tom for the transcontinental, and I mean across, not trans, for the transcontinental Vulcan mind meld.
Well, we are a hive mind, I mean, after all. These so-called Christians who claim they're patriots, I think I've said before, they're not patriots, they're idiots. I mean, just the hateful, you know, the whole fags should die thing.
Yeah.
That is so 1980s. They really need to get some new material. I mean, our expectations are rather low, Robin. I mean, and they're living down to them.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's not like right. That's not an empirically formed expectation, Dave.
Right. I mean, my personal experience with some of these guys, I even had, Chris and I were eating a hot dog on Monument Circle in front of our bank. And there were some fundamentalists gathering at the monument. And this guy in a wheelchair, and I'm in my wheelchair at that point. He looks at Christine, ignoring me completely, and says, can you communicate with him? And without missing a beat, Christine looks over at me and says, I don't know, can I communicate with you, dear? I said, yeah, I think so. Fortunately, the guy did turn a little red-faced because he knew the social faux pas. I could understand an able-bodied person asking that question. But my fellow disabled, you know. So I just had to twist the knife a little bit.
Well, it's, yeah, and I mean, anybody differently situated deals with this stuff. I now have people walk up to me. Yeah, people I don't know, or people who I barely know. And they'll say, well, have you had surgery? Are you gonna? And this is your business. How?
And why? And, you know, there is social distancing in effect, so please back the fuck off.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, and well, we are a little short on time. How is Christine?
As I wrote to you earlier this week, the cardiologist found no damage to her heart.
Fantastic.
He can't figure out what the hell is going on. He said in all the years he's been practicing medicine, he had never seen anything like it. He thinks the clot might have gone into her lungs, although she was told they removed it from her heart. She has a group legal plan, and the providing firm is going to look into pursuing compensation for her, because this all happened to her shortly after she took the Moderna vaccine, and they didn't ask her about her medical history because she got it at the VA. They had all of that information. And I asked her, I said, are you going to be able to sue them because you got it at the VA? She'd asked the lawyer that, and he said yes. So they're in the process of gathering medical records and things they need to support the case. And we're just crossing our fingers as to, you know how these negotiations go. They can drag on for a couple of years.
Jesus, yes. By the way, Dave, you got a note from Jeremy in Vermont. He said, you really missed your chance. Yeah. Jeremy said, Dave, you really missed your chance. You could have babbled at them and then started speaking English and screamed out, it's a miracle I could speak and understand again. We can communicate!
I'll have to remember that the next time, because I get these guys about once every couple of months, especially around Christmas. You know, although sometimes when I was living downtown and my beard was a lot shaggier. And
as opposed to living down by the river in a van down by the river?
Well, no, I was living in a flea bag motel. Not too far from the river. So I haven't given up my river cred yet.
Well,
so.
you have no idea how much happiness that will bring to Brother Deacon Asa that you were at least near the river.
Yes. I was near the river because Indianapolis is the largest city in the United States not on a navigable river. The White River, which runs through Indianapolis.
That's true.
They tried to build a canal system in Indiana back in the 1830s.
Canals were all the rage back then.
And that's why there's a balanced budget requirement in the Indiana Constitution. They've had it since they adopted the second Constitution. It's a rather weird thing, but
The first time I ever heard that that Indianapolis was the biggest city without a river was Kurt Vonnegut.
Kurt was from Indianapolis,
right?
His father and grandfather were prominent architects who built some of the most famous.
Yes, they were. Yeah, it was a heck of a family.
And he was from a wealthy family until the stock market crash of 29.
Yep.
And he was sitting in a building that had been designed by his grandfather to sign books that he'd written. And nobody was showing up but his friend. Hi, Kurt, how's it going? And not a person showed up, and I know one of my history professors would be so sad to hear that, because she absolutely adored the man. I was there.
No, he's one of my heroes.
He was probably one of the most brilliant writers this country's ever produced.
Without a doubt.
Because you look at his commentaries, and that's all drawn from, Slaughterhouse-Five was drawn from his experience as a prisoner of war. And because his family was of German descent and that he'd learned German as a child, the Germans had him interpret for them. And he caught hell from the other soldiers that were imprisoned there because of it. He's like, look, I'm not collaborating. I'm simply, and I'm sure there was stuff he held back from them. Some comedy might have heard. They didn't ask him directly about it. He didn't translate it. I'm sure that was that situation. But there's a building. His museum there is a Kurt Vonnegut museum in Indianapolis, and it's housed in a law firm. And I thought, that's cool, because this firm bought that much of him. They've collected things like stuff from his days in the military. So I'm sure some of his manuscripts and things like that.
Oh, wow. I'd love to see that.
But he was involved as a child in the Indianapolis Children's Museum, which is one of the great museums of this country. It's the largest children's museum in the world, and they've got carousels and electric trains and things that kids can actually play on and learn. And I went with my nephew when he was about 13 to a Mission to Mars exhibit they had. And they had a laser measuring device that you stood under, and it would tell you exactly how tall you were and how much you weighed. And I missed the height requirement for NASA by a quarter of an inch.
Oh, missed it by that much. Well, you just
right.
got...
And the thing is
go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to tell you that Brother Deacon Asa snapped a photo of him standing in front of a church with his mask on,
and said, bless you, mankind, okay. Dave. A brother deacon is humbled and grateful. I love the way the community...
That actually makes my night. I could have gone so many different ways. I could have done the whole speaking in tongues thing. And Christine, I asked her because I was trying to understand these people. Because a lot of them come out of the Anabaptist traditions, you know. And I asked her, I said, because she was raised as a Baptist as a kid. And I said, honey, let me ask you, why is it that Baptist preachers can always take a one-syllable word like prayer and extend it to two or three syllables if they're talented? And she looked at me and she said, showmanship.
She's right.
She said,
absolutely right.
It's pure
theater.
Pure statecraft.
And absolutely is.
I was like, oh my God. But when Reverend Barber was making his comments, which side are you on, Joe? I kept hearing the, which side are you on, boys?
Yeah.
And I was like, that can't be an accident.
No.
He's in West Virginia, and that syncopation was right there. And I caught it from your video.
Well, it's like an editorial cartoon that Sparky sent me a little bit ago. Mitch McConnell, old fart, sitting in a rocking chair, and he's got one of those cat toys on a stick that dangles the little stuffed mouse above the kitty cat.
Right.
Well, the little dangling cat toy is labeled bipartisanship. And rolling on the floor on its back, swinging at it, is a cat named Manchin.
Ooh.
Truer words have not been spoken. Thank you, Sparky.
Now, you know I am no fan of former junior senator from Indiana, Joe Donnelly.
Right, yeah.
Because he specifically asked people not to vote for him if they disagreed with him. Which is something you never do in politics. You always ask for people's support. You always ask for it. And one day on MSNBC, I don't know if it was bring your favorite senator to the set day or what it was, but it was a Saturday or maybe a Sunday. And Joe Donnelly and Joe Manchin were in matching suits. I mean, right down to the tie. And it's like, I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding me.
Bobsey twins.
Because by then I was well aware of Manchin and his ways because of listening to this program for a couple of years. And I knew Donnelly from over the years in politics here. And I honestly think even if Donnelly had been in the Senate now, you'd have had three senators that were objecting to it because Donnelly was from the same, oh, we have to be bipartisan wing, whereas his predecessor, Evan Bayh, would have looked over at him, having been a Secretary of State. And having supervised elections in Indiana, would have understood exactly what voting rights mean and how they should be protected and what are the best practices. But the Republicans don't want to govern anymore. They just want the power and they want the First Amendment to be the one that says, The right to bear arms shall not be infringed because with the arms, they can tell everybody else what to think. And that's the way these people operate. They'll say, oh, no, we believe in... Robin, I got to go.
All right, I understand.
I'll talk to you later.
All right,
Take care. Bye now.
Bye.
I understand that. Cowbell for one syllable word like prayer to two or three if necessary for Dave. It's been a great night of conversation. And probably, you know, what a great return to the phony baloney fake cathedral this was. Heck of a night. So we worked in a little bit of extra radio to make up for the radio we missed last night. Tomorrow, we are facing, on Thursday, an $1,173.34 fundraising goal. I hope maybe it can be knocked down some by the overnight crew. Thank you, one and all, for sharing your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thank you so much to each and every one of our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal. Thank you so very much indeed. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you immensely to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific at headon.live. Headon.live is the best place to listen to the first run of Malloy. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. What a great time this would be to contact you or a member of the House of Representatives and ask them to sign on to H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act. It means the world to Appalachia. Maybe even ask your senator to introduce it in the Senate. What a concept. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Get your vaccine if you haven't already. Encourage others to get theirs. It looks like we're going to fall short of reaching 70% vaccination by July 4th. It'll be the first time that the goals of the Biden administration relative to the vaccine have been unmet. And I have no doubt that there's been an active attempt to thwart that by, you know, the acolytes of the former guy. Remember, as Paul from Parts Unknown reminds us, the vaccine is not your first line of defense, it's your last. So take all your usual precautions. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, carry your hand sanitizer everywhere you go. Wear your mask if you're around people that you suspect or if you're around people that you don't know are already vaccinated. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes up to you babbling about how awesome it is when people get run over by cars during pride parades, avoid that person like the plague, because they are. Thorn in the Side Thursday tomorrow. Later.